Now entering Nerdist.com. You made it weird. You made it weird. You made it weird. Oh, yeah. You made it weird. You made it weird.
Yes, you did. You made it weird. Oh, yeah. You made it weird with Pete Holmes.
What is happening, weirdos? I'm so excited that David Angelo is on the show today. Some of you might have heard him on the live podcast. I believe that was, where was that? Moon Tower. Oh, God, did he kill it. David Angelo has been a favorite of mine for a very, very long time. He's so silly in his stand-up. He does these wonderfully ridiculous jokes. But then, I've known this about David, he's like, he's wonderfully curmudgeonly. He's so fun to wind up and get him to talk about different topics that I'm so ignorant on. So this was like a really informative, interesting, strangely political as I can get, discussion with just one of my favorite people. And I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy it. And let's get into it. We're going to play some of his stand-up up top, too, just so those of you who don't know him will get a little bit of an idea. He also does so many bits during the show that you'll get an idea, too. Here are the tour dates coming up. First, before I say this, I do want to say that before I plug the on-the-road dates, we have two shows in Los Angeles coming up. They're Pete Holmes Living at Largo. It's basically kind of like a little snippet of what the talk show is going to be like once we start doing that on TBS. In that, it's me, and I bring some of my favorite comedians on and some of my favorite music acts. It's been amazing. It's been incredible. Every show we've had so far. So there's two more. June 18th at Largo in Los Angeles. And then the other one is July 30th at Largo in Los Angeles. Go to www.largo-la.com for more info. Here are the other tour dates. I'm in New York now taping John Oliver, and then I'm going on my way to the Limestone Comedy Fest in Bloomington, Indiana. That's June 7th through the 9th. On the 7th, we're doing a live You Made It Weird. I hope to see some weirdos out there. Then I'm on my way to Chicago for the Just for Laughs Festival. That's June 11th through the 15th, where they stop in Milwaukee for Turner Hall on the 12th, June 12th at Milwaukee. Then one night in Portland at the Aladdin Theater on June 28th, one night in Seattle at the Neptune on June 29th. Then on July 11th, I'll be in New Orleans for Tipitina's. And then, the 12th, July 12th, I'm going to Houston for Fitzgerald's. July 13th, Dallas at the Texas Theater. And then I'll be in Montreal for the Just for Laughs Festival. July 24th through the 28th, there'll be a live podcast there as well for more Canadian weirdos. That's it, guys. Enjoy David Angelo. If you enjoy him half as much as I do, you're going to shit your pants. Get into it. Oh, I forgot to do the sponsor. It was such a perfect ending. Get into it. And then we get into it. Now I have to do the sponsor. Just Amazon. You know what to do. Go to Nerdist.com, then click on the banner from this episode and shop through Amazon like you normally would. That's the easiest way to support the show. Or get a t-shirt at YouMadeItWeird.com. Or, get a You Made It Movies on iTunes. All these things. All these things are happening. Okay, now get into it.
Some bad news. My doctor just told me I can't have children. Oh, not my doctor, my accountant. He crunched the numbers and he told me that. That's what he decided. I don't know, but you know, this economy's rough, huh? Things are starting to pick up, you know. The guy who collects scrap metal in my neighborhood, he just hired 3 new employees, so hopefully we've turned a corner. But I don't know, you know, I drive a car that's it's an older, junky car. But you know what, it gets me from point A to the mechanic and then on to point B. Thank you so much, I appreciate that. I don't know how you guys get your money. I don't understand it, you know. Everything is so expensive, Jesus. I went to Nordstrom's to buy a sweater. Turns out it's cheaper to spend the winter in Barbados.
How's fam, Jillo?
Soft as hand.
You funny guy. You're one of those funny guys. Sit here, you psycho. Sit here on to my left, you lunatic.
Right,
you bet it is. Record every moment. Here you go.
Hey,
here's some earphones.
Right. Hello. Oh, nice. No expense spared on these. JetBlue.
Wow. Who just made that joke?
Who did? Go.
Bo Burnham just said, are these from
Delta? You know,
Delta?
like-minded. I would have got JetBlue a little lower level. I think my joke reads better. You know, I mean, Delta's good, more for service-oriented, but as far as cost-cutting, you want to go JetBlue. Spirit Airlines would work. This is a beautiful audience, Pete. I want to thank you so much for being here today.
Beautiful.
How you doing?
Look at this audience.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Here we are. Look at this.
I prefer JetBlue to Delta 500 times to one.
As an airline carrier?
You're goddamn... Yeah, as a place to hide bodies.
Let me tell you, I was on AirTran recently. My stewardess had an Adam's apple. That's AirTran. I was flying Virgin. Flew Virgin.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it wasn't the pilot's first time, you know, because otherwise it could have been a rough flight.
I had a Virgin.
Is this on? Are you sure this is on?
Dave, there's
no audience. I can take it from the top. Let me know if it's good.
I get
a good level.
I said a tweet once. I said, I thought it would be funny if Virgin only flew to Utah. A lot of Mormons, they have tendencies.
Oh, they're virgins.
They abstain, yeah, a lot of virgins.
Sorry, I didn't know that. I didn't know that background. See, I didn't know the thing. I didn't know that was how it was.
Yeah.
Mormons are virgins? I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, they're you know, similar to my people in that we're going to wait until marriage.
You know, me and my old girlfriend, we're very old-fashioned. We're very old-fashioned. We agreed that we were going to wait until after we got married before we acknowledged our personalities were incompatible. You know, we just thought that was the best way to do it. Traditional, that's how both of our parents did it.
Spam Jello.
Boy. We're here.
Spam Jello.
Oh, boy, really amped up.
You know,
you have a radio
personality.
This is radio, Pete. I've never met radio.
You never listened to the show? I always yell spam.
No matter who's here.
Beautiful. You know, I call you David Spam Jello, and I always picture Jello with spam in it. That's actually
a tasty treat in Hawaii, you know.
Hawaii?
Mm-hmm. Spam Jello.
You know, and I'll never...
Aloha to our listeners in Hawaii on the Big Island. You know, they're the forgotten state, for God's sakes.
Well, you could have just said goodbye to them. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll say it again at the end.
Little aloha humor.
There it is. That's the Beatles song. It was initially titled, You Say Aloha, I Say Aloha.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah, of course. That's an aloha joke I have in my pocket.
I thought, why wouldn't you have an aloha? You had a Virgin Airlines.
You're right.
You had a lot of jokes in your pocket.
If you're in Israel, same joke, shalom. You know, you always got to adapt for the road. That's what I say.
Know your audience.
You have to. You really do.
Yeah.
Jesus.
A lot it's Robert Buscemi's dad.
Blues Traveler, Brody.
I wish you could see the guy we're riffing on, because those are two funny riffs.
Two great riffs, guys.
Two great riffs that taste great together.
Fantastic.
How are you today?
Is that a ceramic cup?
Yeah. Would you like to hold it?
Wow. We have to put a picture of this on the internet. It's a ceramic cup.
That looks exactly
like... It looks like a paper cup from Starbucks.
Yeah, it looks like a... Even the sleeve, the hot sleeve.
It has
is
a
plastic
sleeve, but it looks very nice.
You can get it on Amazon. It's made by Copco. Not Cupco, Copco, because a lot of cops
police officers
use this cup.
You know, that's true. I go to Starbucks sometimes, Pete. Let me tell you, I just get a decaf. You know, the price alone keeps me up all night. These are the jokes, you know?
Spam, can we talk about the time that you came and opened for me, and my crowd loves you so much that you almost didn't know what to do?
Right.
Because you do puns that, of course, I love puns. You don't only do puns.
No, I do great jokes also.
You
fantastic material. Other things in my arsenal.
Let me see. Did I do a pun or fantastic material?
Just, you know, social commentary, biting social commentary.
Well, yeah, you do have a good curmudgeon side. That never really comes out in your act, though.
Yeah,
like
a little bit.
You're mad about things.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, like taxation without representation.
Yep, state motto of Washington, D.C. I was going to say New Hampshire, but it's the Washington, D.C.
Because they don't get representation.
No, but I mean, what would they do with it? Come on. I've lived there.
Have you?
Yeah, I lived there. I went to college there.
You went to GW?
I went to George Washington University.
GWU?
You know, J. Edgar Hoover went there.
The Hoove?
A lot of luminaries.
You mean the Illuminati?
The Illuminati. I like them. I hope they're out there. Jesus, we need something to protect us from this mob of lunatics out on the street.
Wait, that is one of the
keep
jokes you have that I love, where you said Gandhi. Do that one.
You know, Pete, a lot of people have...
He'll do it. He'll do the bits.
I know. I don't care.
I don't care. He doesn't care.
You know, Gandhi, Pete, inspirational to me and many others around the world, he used to say that you should be the change you want to see in the world. And I like that, you know. I just wish I knew how to be 5 billion less people. Thank you so much. I just want to thank everyone for listening today. This is there a station announcement we do?
Nerdist.
Nerdist.com. /Pete Holmes.
I think that's just a regular slash. You can just say slash.
Well, sometimes people put in a back. No, it's a backslash.
People
actually
don't like those backslashes.
It actually is technically a backslash.
Do you think the world is overcrowded and we should get rid of 5 billion people?
Because traffic out here, Jesus.
Well, I mean, sometimes I fly over rural areas and I'm like, that's where it's at. I'm getting that real yearning to unplug. Like today and yesterday, I've just been like a little bit low. I almost tweeted this today while I was waiting for you. Was noodles depress my Mexican friend. They make them low, man. It's because I was thinking about
that's
you.
Pretty good. That's
it's because I was thinking about you in tweets and
you
puns.
Know, Pete, I was actually at a really cheap Chinese restaurant before I came over here. Yeah, I had the Lieutenant So's chicken. I mean, that's how cheap it was. Usually when I'm there, I'll get the karate chops. They do them nice.
The karate chop salad?
Yeah.
That's not bad. Pretty, you know. We can use that.
All right.
I'm doing my best. We're from Boston, you and I. Well, we're from Lexington.
We're from Lexington, Massachusetts.
I'm surprised you don't say General Gow's. We all say General Gow's where
I had
I
to,
live.
You know, because you got to know it. The audience.
That's right.
It's regional Massachusetts for them not to know ethnic food, even Americanized inventions of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had to, for the wider audience. I know that there are some people in Massachusetts probably listening to the show.
Sure.
You know. We'll have to make some adjustments for them down the road. Jimmies or sprinkles, you know, I don't know what else.
Well, we say Jimmies.
Yeah.
Which is a play off the Jim Crow laws. It means little black sprinkles.
Mm-hmm.
A racist little treat on your ice cream.
Yeah, that's how I like it.
On your white ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Sweet white ice cream.
Yeah. Just there, the Jimmies is there helping out. That's all they're good for.
Yep. And then
it's racist.
After the Civil Rights Act, they let you do the black and white swirl.
You know, well, that came to Boston last.
It did. They had to bus it in from the city.
What a troubled place we live in.
Yeah, well, you know, it was pretty good. Boston was all right. There were worse
cities. Well, we're from Lexington. We didn't really, I don't think,
no,
whatever
yeah.
we're talking
Shelter.
About, I make fun of Boston being racist, but I never really experienced it too hardcore.
It, you know, it is kind of, you know, it's even bad if you're not Irish. I think that's
yeah.
the...
Well, Chris Rock has that great bit where he goes, I was in South Africa recently. I'm sorry, Boston. And then he goes, I didn't know that how racist a place could be until I saw white people being racist towards other white
right,
people.
Right, right, right.
Like you're not Irish or you're not Catholic or you're not Protestant or whatever it is.
Right. I had a hard time. I think I tried for a little bit to get a job there and it was just really
Where?
Hard. And I don't know, just in the city of Boston.
Wait, you thought you got some non-Irish person
Well, no,
racism?
it wasn't really racism. It was just more like they're so insular.
Insular.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I was just saying it because it sounded fun, like sequestered.
Sequestered.
Just say it. I got sequestered in my back pocket in case I ever have this argument. I don't know why I have these scenarios running in my mind, but I'm like, if someone tells me I have to stay somewhere, I'm like, oh, you're just going to sequester me in here? Like, I feel like that's really condescending and funny. Oh, you're sequestering me. Like, that's a funny, ironic, like, big word right. to you. Not ironic.
To have at the ready.
Yeah, to have at the ready. Who has sequestered in the chamber? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good one.
This guy. So you were saying racism and you weren't hired because you're not an
Well,
Irishman.
That no, it was just I didn't – you have to like know everybody. And I was also – I think I was trying to get like union jobs and they were really difficult because it's like depending on anywhere you are, there's always like you got to be your brother-in-law,
yeah,
cousin
sure.
and
what
all this mean? Business. They were like, you know, they didn't want to deal with me on the phone.
I feel like all of Boston, I always felt like a little bit on the outside. I love going back now.
Right.
But as a kid, I remember even feeling a little bit what you're talking about. I can't quite put it into words, but that feeling like I never felt like I could make them laugh.
Right.
Like, my father's friends, I don't know how I could possibly make them laugh unless I told like
yeah,
a really
Bobby Orr joke.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like being apart from the sports culture, being right. apart from the politics, I just didn't know what and not caring about being Irish or
Or not even having the accent. Like, we don't have the accent.
We don't have the accent. I think I've told you this before. I know people on the show know this. When I go home, I just do a fake Boston accent the entire time.
No, you don't.
I do. Not when I'm hanging out with you, with my parents.
Do your parents have a Boston accent?
Yeah, they have it.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Well, my dad's from Somerville, Winnahill.
Winter Hill.
My mother's from Southie.
For God's sake.
Southie's like coming up now. It's like yuppies.
Should have bought real estate there 10 years ago.
Do you ever think, I know you think about that.
I do.
I think about Park Slope. When I lived in Park Slope, I was like, 30 years ago, you could have bought a brownstone in Park Slope for like 11 grand. Yeah. And now they're like $1 million.
That's how it goes. But you know, then when you have the money, then there's, you don't see the opportunities as clearly.
I suppose.
But you have to be in those areas. See, where are they? You have to know where people are moving. Maybe Silver Lake? Where is all the young people going?
Where are they going now?
Right, because they can't afford Park Slope anymore. It's where those young people go, and then when they get older, they stay there, and they bring all their
Well, it might be where we were. We lived in Bushwick. You moved into Bushwick. Did you move into my...
I moved into your apartment.
With my roommate.
In your bedroom, actually.
Chris Burns.
Chris Burns. Great guy. Yeah, that's him.
I was so mean to Chris. I love Chris so much.
You're right.
But I used to make fun of how he said, hey, he was very breathy. He actually wasn't that breathy. Sometimes an impression is just like what you think you see. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I like doing you. Jesus. Oh. Got to get real. Really yeah, low and good. Say, what is your joke?
Yeah, I don't know. What is my joke?
Gandhi says, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. And But then Chris was just... I don't know why. He might have said it once breathy that way.
Right.
But I lived in that building. So I bet Bushwick, where we were, is on the up and up.
Probably. It's hard to... Yeah.
If it's
Kumail had that building next to him. They turned that into a fancy building.
They did?
They turned that into a... And he had construction... No, not his, but the one next to it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But it was weird because when we were living there, we helped Kumail and Emily move into that place, you and I. Remember?
No, I helped him move out.
You helped him move out.
I don't do the move in. Too much. I don't go upstairs. I'll bring it down.
Are you sure? I have a very vivid memory of you, me, Kumail, Emily moving into Park Slope into Bushwick. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I did.
You were definitely there. Maybe I don't know. I'm very bad at remembering things, but this I'm remembering, and you were there, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Nate Fernald was there, I think.
Oh, wow. What a community event.
It was a good... Well, that was one of the wonderful things about living there is when I lived in that building in Bushwick, 232 Messerol.
232
Messerol. What was the unit?
No, keep... That's a secret. You have to keep that.
Oh.
Otherwise, people run credit checks on us.
Is that true?
Yeah, they'll look it up by the past tenants. They'll go to Experian. Pete, you got to protect your identity.
I do?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Do we have to bleep that address?
Nah, that's all right. There were 40 units in there.
So they need to know the unit to really fuck us over?
They'll just find the one with a credit score above zero, and that'll be ours.
It was a bad neighborhood. It was a troubled neighborhood. There was a lot of human shit in the hallway.
Your building was bad.
My building? Our building. You lived there.
I was there for a few months, and then I got out.
Well, you had to get out because you're more confrontational than I am, because I'll set it up, and then you take it home.
All right.
I had an office in Chelsea.
Right.
23rd and 7th.
Great office.
Yeah, great office. Still there. Famous little comedy office. And on Friday, Saturday, even Sunday night, I just wouldn't go home because the people downstairs below us, it was like a family. This is going to sound like a joke or it's going to sound like racially tense or something, but it was like eight people
right
in the same space.
In a two-bedroom.
We're in a two-bedroom and it's two people, and downstairs there's eight people. So right away, look, we're not assholes. That's not ideal. It's not ideal.
Right.
Matt McCarthy used to say, let them have their party. Let them fucking relax. They got more tension than us. Let them blast their music. But he's just like a pretty chill dude, and he was probably high and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But you and I would come home, and it was just shaking. The whole apartment was just shaking.
Right. It was music.
With bass. You'd hear the bass and the music. You'd hear everything.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievably considered.
Honestly, truly unbelievable. And I remember the only thing I ever did was I banged on the pipe, right? I like ding on the pipe and they just dinged back. They just banged back.
They didn't care.
And I was like, oh my God. But then you had like scruffs with them. I just avoided it because I'm a non-confrontational.
Right. I forget what happened. I went down. It was so loud. And it was like a Wednesday.
So you went down. Now the people trying to ruin our credit know we weren't on the first floor. That's five units out.
All right.
Deduction.
Without zero in by the end of the episode, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Triangulated.
Yeah.
don't tell which window the sun came in.
I love talking to you, though, because you know a lot of shit about a lot of shit. I hope I'm ignorant about a lot of things in this episode so you can just correct me, because that's kind of your role in my life.
I'm sure you will be, Pete. Don't worry about it.
Oh, condescending, going down.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I went down there.
Yes.
This is like 1 in the morning. And I say that.
Do you remember the day? It was a weekend?
No, it was a work day, whatever the hell it was. And I go in and I say, hey, I knock on the door. They come. I say, can you turn it down? And they give me this dead eye stare.
What do we got, a kid or we got a grown-up?
It's a grown-up, a guy. I don't know how he fits into the equation down there, whether he's a father or an uncle. You know, it's a whole full house.
It is a full house.
Whether he's
it
Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
It could have been Joey. Not an uncle. Joey was just a friend.
Right.
What was Joey doing there?
Joey was a comedian friend of Danny's.
I don't trust him.
Right.
Hanging out with DJ all fucking day.
Right. That's a little weird when they're in a residential house. They don't have separate apartments. Jesse had a bedroom next to Stephanie. I mean, when you think about it.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, anyway. So really back to my terrible life.
That show used to make me feel happy. Like, I used to watch it and be like, the simple sitcom world of just, like, everybody kind of getting along and things being tied up in a bow by the end. Just thinking about Full House right now is making me glad. Sometimes when I think of the weird right turn that Bob Saget took from, like, being the happy dad that washed the car in the intro.
Right.
To the guy that's like, these two fucking Jews or whatever he's doing. Like, which is fine. It just makes me, it makes me a little sad that he wasn't actually that guy.
Yeah, but there are guys like that out there that he's a representation of.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, there's still hope.
And my hope dick is hard again.
There it is.
Yeah.
Good. Thank God.
Yeah. So you go down and you knock and a nondescript adult person.
He doesn't give me any, you know, because this nod. I think maybe they turned it down 10% for 20 minutes. And then it was back up. Uh-huh. No question, louder. And then I go to, I called the police.
Really?
I called the police. I did a noise violation.
Yes.
Type of thing. 311, I think, is the number you do in New York City. For anyone listening who lives there.
Your voice, man. It's so great. You're just like, 311 is the number for anybody that wants to make that call. If you do want to make a noise complaint in New York City.
You can do it anonymously, however you feel like, whatever you're comfortable with. You know, you're pretty good to get through to an operator.
This episode can't fail. As long as you keep talking, it's going to be number one.
Well, it'll be downhill from here then.
People love this.
So now I don't remember what I was saying.
You go down, you knock, you turn down 10%,
I call the cops.
311.
311. Make the noise complaint. And I think they came. And what happened was...
How long?
I don't know. They never said anything to me. They never called me. They never notified me. But the music got way louder. And it was retribution now.
Oh, God.
For me calling the cops.
That is a nightmare.
And so loud. So, like, you couldn't, the room was shaking. It's actual vibration.
No. You're talking to the one guy who knows what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. I know you're explaining to the audience as well, but it was it was like you couldn't just put on earphones. Because I had earphones going to the TV, and I'd go in my room. The shaking was wild. Also, the shake, that whole building was easy to shake. I remember, like, big trucks. Because, like, something that I didn't know.
Right.
But, like, zoning. This is something that you would know. Zoning. Like, in Park Slope, you can't haul ass in a huge moving truck down those streets. Like, it's the neighborhood just doesn't.
And you got those tree overhangs. Clearance doesn't
allow it. Wouldn't work. Clearance doesn't allow it. But when you live in Bushwick, where it's just like warehouse parties and us, those big trucks would go by and shake the building all the time.
Right. It wasn't a great, you know, I have a thing to add at the end of this.
Sure, add it.
But so anyway, then I
so go, they turn it up.
They turn it up, and I'm angry. I'm like, what are they doing? This is unreasonable.
Yes,
you know, I was nice. They don't reply. They don't respond to Law and Order. They don't. These people are hooligans. So I go down there and I bang really hard,
hooligans.
Really hard, closed fist on the door, and it knocked off something on the other side of the door.
Oh, you did.
They had like a little like ornament type of thing.
They had a golden frame around the peephole like Friends.
Yeah, you know, for all their other faults, they had a nicely appointed, you know.
They had a good sense of humor and loved Friends.
Yeah, it was nice. And then they just poured out into the hallway, the whole family.
No.
Ready for fighting. And the two,
not physical fighting.
Yes, physical fighting.
You thought physical fighting?
Physical fighting.
What made you think that? What about,
you know, the way you walk with your elbows behind your back type of thing?
Uh-huh. Terrifying.
That's how the man came out. And then the two children, because this is where you raise children.
Yes.
You know, they're early teenager types.
Wasn't one of the young daughters pregnant, I believe?
Not during my watch.
Okay.
She comes out swinging. She had to be restrained.
Really? Oh, my God.
And she was going to, which is unreasonable, because I could have beat her up, you know? That makes no sense. Why would she come at me?
I don't think, really? Don't you think, like, if a young girl started attacking me, I think I would just lose. I think I would just yield to that and receive a beating.
But, I mean, she knew that she had these five other people
to hold her back.
So it was, you know. But
it's hold me back scenario.
Yeah, I mean, but it was like, you're not going to accomplish anything. She was trying to kick me and all this stuff. They were holding her back. And then the son came out. He was maybe 15. And he was, you know, using, like, a lot of really colorful language at me. Yes. And then the mother, the matriarch, she just whips her keys at me. Her keys at me.
Whoa. You got keys,
like,
whipped.
Yeah, and they hit me in, like, the stomach or something.
No.
Yeah.
You were key assaulted.
And I was very like, what are you? And I was just kind of confused, like, what are you guys doing? Is this like a family unit? Is this how you guys like operate? Like, I know you're all crazy because I'm down here at 2 a.m. and you have your music so loud to the point that it's like they're like trying to cover up industrial equipment in there. You know, it's like, what are they like? I don't know what's going on. So I'm just confused. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. I'm mad. And then it just started assaulting me and yelling. And I leave. And there's cops on the street. They used to stay down by the subway entrance because it's not a good neighborhood. But they were kind of always there. And I knew that they'd probably be there. So I went down there and I was like, these people are a disaster. Can you like go? They tried to like fight me.
Did you go back to your apartment and get your keys, or did you just keep the mother's keys to let yourself back in?
I don't know. I think I had them on me. I don't remember what the story was.
Hey, you got two sets of keys.
Yeah, that would be funny. If I just took hers, I'm like, all right.
Thank you.
Not that they're any use. It's like there's always going to be someone in there.
And there's
protecting
always.
Protecting with a.
That door was broken more than it wasn't broken.
The
how
front
did
door.
How did we ever live
it? Was
there?
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
But the cops had we ended up not having them come up because I think it would have just been more escalation that would have spilled over into like the rest of my time living there.
Wait, that's what you and the cops had that discussion? They were like, we could go up, but it sounds like they're just going to keep getting worse the more we go up there?
Well, that's what I decided. I went down to them and they thought I was high.
Oh.
So I approached them. I'm like a good citizen, you know. I'm a nice person.
You're a decent guy.
Excuse me, officers. There's some people playing loud music, and they tried to fight me when I confronted them on it. I mean, is it possible that you could just go say something to them? And they're like, are you on mushrooms right now?
That's their first guess.
Hey, Jimmy, look at this freaking guy. And I was like, excuse me? Like it was so crazy for someone in that neighborhood to have a complaint about their neighbors.
Sure.
So... after they determined I wasn't high, or I don't know, maybe they didn't. I was just like, forget it. You guys are just as bad as everyone. And I went just back upstairs, and I don't know what happened. They eventually relented. I like to think that I kept them up later with their vengeance. They probably wanted to go to bed at 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah,
but they stayed up till 5 just for me. Yeah. And in that way, I got revenge on them by losing that 1 hour of sleep.
Well, also, blood heart rates are up. Nobody's going back to bed. Like, as much as they were mad at you, nobody likes getting their adrenaline, like, pumped like that. So you did. I mean, I don't know why I'm, like, rooting for you to ruin it. I hate this story. I hate every part of this story.
Right.
I hate that things like this happen and that people can't get along.
Yeah, but I've had some, when you have good neighbors, it's amazing because they just don't. They don't. They're like invisible. That's
right.
Like the best neighbor.
Right. I'm very sensitive to that sort. They actually shushed us once. One time, because we kept weird hours. We'd be up on a Tuesday at 2 a.m. and we'd be playing Call of Duty or whatever with the window open. I remember they yelled up to us to close the window, which I was so embarrassed. I felt really bad. I wanted to leave them a fruit basket. It's hard though. I feel like it's weird to tiptoe around the racial thing. The thing that some of my friends used to say was it's like we were these weird white hipster people moving into this cheap Latino area. So like that, right. I think that, I don't know if it was Maddie, but that was somebody's philosophy. It was like, you're a visitor in this building and that's their culture. Like playing the music louder was like part of their culture and it wasn't really our place to come in. Like you could feel the white
people. That's not part of their culture. That's bullshit.
I actually think you're right because not everybody did that. And that's actually the punchline to the story was you said that you told the landlord. And then the landlord, do you remember this? The landlord said that he's always had a huge problem with them. And every tenant, white or Latino or whoever was living there, always hated this one unit. Like it was not.
But no one ever said anything to them, I don't feel like.
No, he said that he tried to bring them to court.
Are you talking about the Jewish landlord guy?
Yes.
I didn't have a conversation with him.
Somebody told me that he was. Maybe it was Matt when he checked out a hotel. Like, yeah, we've been trying to get rid of them. Like he was trying to subpoena them to leave because every single person over 10 years that's lived there has gone nuts and left right. that unit. So we got like the one haunted by music unit.
Well, the
because Craig Baldo lived across the hall and I lived there and I couldn't hear anything. It was awesome.
Oh, really?
It was the most pitch. It was
I thought
so
the
quiet.
People next to them on the same floor would have some problems, but I don't know. My addendum or whatever is that when I moved out, these kids moved in, and then a few weeks later, I had forgotten something there. I don't know what it was, but I called them up and I was like, "Hey, can I just go? Is this here? Can I pick it up?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I went over, and they were like 19. You know, they were young. I think they were in college.
The kids that moved in.
Right. And I went in like almost trying to be like apologetic about the whole thing. Like, oh, man, these guys. And I asked them, like, how do you like it? And they're like, this is great, man. We love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, good.
And they loved living there. And they had been almost a month. So, I mean, I don't imagine that they had encountered like all the different things. But
well, you see, that was Matt's philosophy. And I've never bought into this philosophy, which is if your neighbors are loud, that gives you permission to be loud. I've just never.
Well, then it would just be that's like the butterfly causes a hurricane across the.
Right.
You know, then we'd be hearing Kesha right now.
Right.
Because of someone down the street.
Sure. So I guess they're the, like communal.
It's hard living in those.
It's hard. It's forced community.
You know,
and it's forced community in New York with people that you wouldn't necessarily have ever met otherwise.
Right.
Like if you just stayed in Lexington.
Like I was very stressed about it. I told my therapist. And she told me I had what's called an apartment complex.
You are the funniest guy. You're like,
you know, yeah, come on.
You're the king of the funny. You know what I love about you, man, is when I think about you, you know, do you have like a single, like one frame, like a slideshow association with people? And when I think of you, it's you laughing.
Really?
That's a great thing.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Like I think of you being like happy and laughing and kind of floating around and not being, you don't.
Oh yeah, very upbeat.
You don't give me stress. You don't give me anxiety. When I see Spamjula, I'm like, there's a guy.
Oh, I see.
I could
oh,
do
good.
Business with. And he laughs and he's fun and he's good.
Just here to have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
We only get one go around on this crazy thing.
Tell me about high school, because we went to the same high school at a different time. We went to LHS.
We did. I was there in the mid-80s.
I mean, there's no way you couldn't already ruin my credit if you were trying to, based on the information I've been on the show.
Don't give your mother's maiden name.
I definitely haven't. And that one, by the way, is like 45 letters long. It's straight
oh, good,
up Lithuanian.
Good.
It's so Lithuanian, her last name is Pickled. I just made that up. Would you, let's talk about, I went to LHS. I graduated in 1997. I hear the click clack of the guy trying to ruin my credit. You graduated in what?
1986. I'm not telling you when I graduated.
After me.
Maybe.
You scared man.
I know I am.
Why?
I don't
Tell
know.
Me about your paranoias. Those are fun.
There's a funny story I actually can't tell because I think it would get me in trouble.
I want to hear it.
No,
so
I can't.
Badly.
I can tell you, like, I know, I can tell you off the thing, but I'm just, it's not that interesting, but I got spooked recently about I don't know. I can't tell it.
Can I tell you one? I didn't know that spook was a slur for black people. I'm not trying.
Oh, really?
I'm not trying to be funny right now. And I'll never forget one time Josh Cheney lived in a predominantly black neighborhood, but it also happened to be like kind of industrial. This was in Chicago, hard to find parking, and just like was ominous. It looked like Gotham.
Okay,
it was like
right.
just a scary neighborhood. And I remember I sent out this text to Kumail, Josh, probably Kanane, Bronger, all these people. None of it, not a racist bone in any of these guys' bodies, and certainly not mine. And I was like, let's not meet at Cheney's. It's too spooky. And I was like, and like everybody thought I was like, really?
Oh, really?
I was just saying spooky, but every time I hear spooky, I can't. Also, spade.
I don't think it works as an adjective.
I don't think it does either. But spade, I didn't know.
I don't know what that is. What's just spade?
Spade is also a slur for a black person, like an antiquated one. Nobody would say it now.
S-P-A-Y.
Spade, like D? The ace of spades. It's a black sign, the spade.
Oh.
I love that we're using the show to just spread more hate. Here's some ones that you might not know.
It's a tutorial.
But I was one time telling a story at UCB, and it was a story about it being on a turbulent airplane. And I was like, and the black gay steward came out. And I was like, I don't know if it's important that he's black or gay, but I just want to call a spade a spade. And everyone like went nuts.
Oh, wow.
They thought I was, again, why would I do that at UCB? I would say spooky in a text. I never would.
When I was in college, I majored in like media stuff, and we had to like create a channel or something, a cable channel.
Sure,
and this one girl, the teacher was black. And her channel was Spook TV.
Oh my God!
And it was a horror. She was a foreigner. She was not
okay. Like, wait, the girl making the TV channel wasn't black.
No, the professor was. But the professor she does was this black. Presentation about Spook TV.
I mean, spooked. I mean,
I think it's you know, another one that bothers me.
It's like
I don't like talking
Trump
about
where
like
it's like Coon. Like he didn't know that Coon.
You know what the worst is. I hate saying dirty stuff. I really, but like, the word cum,
C-U-M.
Like, oh, geez, do we have to appropriate the like third most popular verb that everyone uses
to
be like the dirtiest?
Right. Thing? I'm coming.
It's just,
are you?
Yeah.
Come over here.
Like, well, who came up with that? That's not like
come sit
convenient
by me.
At all. Yeah.
Come by me. Come over on me.
So,
yeah, okay. So what is the thing that you can't... Give me a flavor.
A flavor?
Of the story you can't tell. Give me the tone.
No, because...
I understand.
Be realistic. Yeah.
I know.
I'm sure your fans are all great, but they are beautiful. Thank you for listening. This is Pete Holmes. What's the name of this? Weird. You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes.
I was just letting you drown for a second.
That's not drowning. I did beautiful there.
You did do beautiful, but I let you take a moment. I didn't think you were drowning. Don't say that.
Who's on your side? The first word that comes to mind.
Drowning.
Mm-hmm.
I just let you flounder.
Flounder.
Which is an offense to the flounderfish. He swims beautifully.
He does.
Have you ever seen a flounder? Why isn't Seinfeld still on the air? Flounder never flounders. He swims gracefully. Why don't we say salmon? Sorry, I couldn't think of it. I was salmoning for a while. You guys have been great. Flounder. people are going to be pissed because I understand why you can't tell that story. Well, you seem to be a little.
Yeah.
You're the kind of guy, when I bought my car, Volkswagen Golf, that's ruining my credit. 2010 Volkswagen Golf, VIN number. When I bought my car, I'm the kind of knucklehead that just goes and buys a car because I go, I like the shape of that car. It looks fun.
The Golf is a good car, though.
But then you're the guy that goes like, I bought it. And then after the fact, you're like, Golf, great city mileage. You got to, Jesus, it's great. Oh, get in there.
Right. I think like, you should have got the diesel one, but.
Well, I'm terrified of being out on the road and you can't find a diesel.
You can always find it. Any tractor trailer. Yeah. I'll use diesel.
See, you know these things. I don't know these things.
And now it's lower than gasoline.
Diesel.
For a while it was above premium. Now it's lower than regular.
Really?
And you get on the Golf diesel, you get 50 miles a gallon on the highway.
See, you're the kind of guy that knows things. And I'm the kind of guy that can't really be bothered by things.
Right. That's all I kind of do.
You know things.
I like to go around and figure stuff out.
And I love that about you. You're the kind of person that I just want to sponge. I just want you to come all over me. Wait. I want to learn these different things.
Right.
Tell me about something that you love to talk about.
I don't know. I
don't you have a Fort Knox conspiracy? Don't you think there's no money in Fort Knox or money doesn't represent anything?
Oh, that's not a conspiracy. That's just the truth. That's the open truth, which is in many ways more terrifying than any of the conspiracies that people come up with. I do have a lot of I have an economics show that I do on YouTube. You know, just get it out to the people. And it's called Economics. You should look it up.
Economics.
It's like economics, but with the little E in the front of it. So it's two E's. E-E-C-O-N, et cetera.
Economics.
But two E's.
So it's E-economics.
Yeah. Like electronic. You know how they do that when anything's on the internet?
Yes.
E-verify.
Yeah. E-trade.
E-trade. E-harmony.
Yeah.
So it's...
E-economics.
Right.
It's funny.
Kind of.
It is.
It ruins every Google search because people think it's a typo.
Yep.
So
Google won't even do it. It's search like, I'm showing you the results for economics, not E-economics.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been, you know, just one of the many hurdles I put up for myself. But I do that show.
Yeah.
And I like talking about that stuff.
Well, what is the thing I should know?
I don't know, because I don't know what you don't know. I don't know
anything.
You have a lot of, you have conspiracies, don't you?
Oh, I have conspiracies. I'm just looking for general basic stuff. Where
what's your conspiracies? Maybe we can go on those.
Well.
Basic stuff is, I don't know. I can't. I don't know where to begin with that stuff.
Is there no gold in Fort Knox?
Well, it's irrelevant if there is, because there's no backing to money.
Tell me.
You know, you did a one-man show once. This isn't that funny. That was the title. No, that's not the title. That was the reviews.
Jesus.
But it was about money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd just go out and I'd say, can anyone here in this audience tell me what a dollar is? Now, can you do that, Pete?
Can I tell you what a dollar
What's
is?
What's a dollar?
A dollar?
Yeah.
In my understanding, is a federal note.
What's that mean?
It means it belongs to the Confederation of America.
All right.
And it represents gold that we have in a building called Fort Knox that you can't break into, even if you have George Clooney and Matt Damon.
Is that's your...
So if I give you a dollar, really, it's like an IOU from the government towards some gold.
See, that's not correct at all.
Okay, good.
And that is amazing.
I want to be wrong.
Are you just forcing your wrongness?
No.
Is that what you really think?
No, I'm swimming in ignorance.
Okay. So...
And the water's crowded. I keep touching other people, and they're stupid.
I know, they're all...
Turns them on.
They're all peeing in the pool because they don't know.
Oh, it's 90% urine.
Mostly.
Yeah.
The dollar, Pete.
Tell me.
This is when all I can hear all the radios getting clicked off.
Yeah. So they can hear the podcast better.
There we go.
Boom.
There we go.
Boom.
But the, you know, it's interesting to me that people don't know what it is when you work your entire adult life to accumulate them.
Right.
People slave away. People commit murders.
We know what they do.
Do you?
I mean, I know what I can do with $1. I can get a Diet Mountain Dew.
Maybe. You might have some kind of understanding of the purchasing power, you know, in contemporary, or, you know, at any given time. But
you can't argue with that. I have $10 on me. I could go buy a pecan pie at Whole Foods and eat the whole thing because I have that currency.
Pecan pie at Whole Foods is going to be about $11. I'm telling you, can we Google this? Google pecan pie at Whole Foods, $11 or $12.
You think so?
Yeah. So see already, Pete,
already
the understanding.
Wrong. But even though I don't understand what it is, which is kind of terrifying, and I'm looking forward to you explaining it, I can be ignorant. I think that's why my brain chooses to be ignorant about a lot of things.
Right. I think that definitely there are times when I don't care about stuff. Like I don't want to hear about certain things.
Sure.
But on something so fundamental,
yeah, it's
to
basic.
Just how everything works.
But okay, let me give you another scenario. We're on a desert island, and
okay.
We're going to start a society, and then we find these shiny rocks, and I'm like, these shiny rocks will be our currency. Isn't that just kind of what we're doing? We're like all agreeing in faith that these rocks mean something, just so we can have structure. Is that closer?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. It's sort of it is kind of imaginary like that on we have kind of this understanding that we're going to use these as a medium of exchange, you know, since it's what is convenient for whatever reason, and there's maybe some historical precedent for it.
Yeah, we don't want to be trading a monkey paw in a bazaar.
Right, but if you just go, yeah.
Although I would love a monkey paw.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, when I was in Israel, I really enjoyed the bargaining and the monkey pawing.
Right. I like, do I? No.
I love how much you're censoring yourself. You're worried that the government is listening.
They are. They are, Pete.
They don't have time to listen to this show.
You'd be amazed because maybe not now, but if you do something involving, you know, who knows? Because you're Pete, a lot of your viewers may not know this. going to be a big star pretty soon, right?
We don't know that.
So, I mean, you know, something could happen. And then people go back and they're going to look through, they're going to comb through all this.
Well, it's going to take a month.
Oh, but they got people. Stimulus program. They'll hire them.
You're going to get a lot of weirdos volunteering to work at the CIA so they can listen to an episode again and flag it.
They would love that. They would love nothing more.
Yeah.
People dig up stuff all the time. So
but what are they going to do? See, I just don't know why I would be afraid of that. I've said everything on this show.
I know. Your life's an open book.
I can relate to you because one time we did a Doug Loves Movies. It's one of the few times Doug took something out of a Doug Loves Movies episode. He never edits. And I bought him like 8 drinks and tried to persuade him to take it out. And it wasn't because of me. It was because Tall John, who's got to do the podcast. I got to get Tall John on.
Tall John.
He's great. Tall John was watching the taping and he was like, I said something about E-Trade. And then I did like a fake E-Trade commercial, but it was offensive. That's all I was saying.
Oh, right,
it was
right,
just
right,
a bit. And then, of course, everyone gets that it's a bit. And E-Trade has a wonderful – the people I work with understand that. But he was like, look, you got to be careful about that. And I was like, oh, my God. So I know that flush of panic where you're like, I'm going to lose a job, stability, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
For what? I'm not getting paid for Doug Loves Movies. It's just
– and it's not like you had any – there's no intention to do anything. You're not trying to be – you know, you don't have the thrill of doing something wrong because you don't think you're doing something wrong.
Right. That's right. I didn't even get to feel naughty. I just did something stupid. And he took it out. Doug, I'm still grateful that Doug took it out, but I never would have thought of it. But you do tend to have that mind where you're like, butterfly effect, like you were saying, I do this and then that could lead to this, this, and this. Someone could steal our credit. Someone could blah, blah, blah.
Right, because, you know, I mean, everything is on the internet. It's all out there. This will be – you have to realize that for the – all the potential to
– I'm sorry, everybody. Kick the table.
Maybe not your – you have a good listener base, but there's the potential that every human alive from now until the end of time can hear this.
Sure. But my feeling is, as we continue to move forward, the novelty of me being one of the few people that shares everything about himself is only going to increase. My projection of the future
is only going to decrease, or
is going to increase. Is that in the future everyone will share everything?
So the novelty will decrease.
The novelty will decrease, but the occurrence.
The effect. No, but I don't think so, because then all you need is one person to say, "Let me go ruin this guy," and then they just look it all up. And it's all there. And it may be that, yes, there's the opportunity to ruin more people, but they can still go after you.
What do you mean ruin?
Who knows? For my case, they could have done something.
Well, they could have turned you into the feds.
Right.
But I'm not on this show saying I'm tearing mattress tags off.
Well, yeah, but you never know. You never know what you say. Because what I did, I didn't realize was a problem.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Until later.
It's like politics. Someone can go back and be like, we found you in college ripping a bong hit.
Right, right, right.
Sure. And so, the only people I worry about is maybe possibly my kids hearing this and being like, Dad, sure to talk about it. In this episode, I said, come all over me. I mean, like, but then also I think there's something kind of nice about that being like, here it is. I won't be able to take this back. You'll be able to hear exactly what I sounded like when I was 34.
Right.
And yeah, still, do what your father fucking says. Don't be a stupid shit just because I was trying to do some art, okay? Shut up. Listen to your mother. Bring your dad a cookie. He loves cookies.
Yeah, it was an experimental time.
Yeah, it was a different time. Yeah. Of course, I'm picturing us in a post-apocalyptic future where we live in a shed.
Well, see, that might be a nice relief. Get rid of all this paper trail everyone has. I think in the future,
like Fight Club,
there'll be a huge premium attached to you if you get to adulthood without having any like internet presence.
I think, you know, I'm working on a bit right now about how we couldn't have Jesus now because we paparazzi ourselves. Jesus disappeared between, I think it was 13 and 30. You know what I mean? So he was just gone. And these days you can't disappear between 13 and 30. There would be a vine of you, you know, losing your shit on a Southwest flight. It would happen. And then you'd be like, this is the King of Kings. He failed chemistry.
You can't have anything. I mean, if Buddha was alive today, as calm as he was, he'd be, you know, he'd be sitting on the 405, you know, asking for mass genocide. I mean, the whole culture is different.
But I think you're right. It might flip and the premium might become.
I think so.
How much can you withhold?
I'm so jealous of my one friend who has no presence.
Really?
Nothing. You can't look him up. You can't do anything.
You can't say his name.
No, I won't say his name.
But it can't be a common name because if it was like Matt Jones, he would.
That's actually better because then you get camouflaged by all the Matt Joneses.
It's like punk bands calling themselves nude girls. So you're ungoogleable.
Oh, interesting.
They call themselves like free nude pics, stuff like that, to rage against this machine of knowing everything. But what do you...
That's interesting.
Spamgulo, you're a comedian. You have to be... Like, when somebody asked me if I was on MySpace, I remember I was like, yeah, I'm on MySpace, because it wasn't really my thing. But then it's our job to upload our personalities for consumption.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I do. And I do that. I mean, I have the YouTube show, and I have, like... I do the Twitter, DW Angelo. You're welcome to join.
You are the funniest guy. I want to live in your cottage. Can you have a cottage?
I wanted one.
Yeah.
When I lived in New York, I wanted to buy a parcel of land upstate.
I want to have a
weekend house or whatever that I'd go to. That would be like kind of off the grid that I could just kind of.
God.
To live in, you know? Like,
if there is an apocalypse, I'm looking for you.
You should.
I'm looking for you and
stocked up.
Bill Burr. Do you have a gun? You do have a gun. Oh my God. Will you please talk about guns?
All right, I'll talk about guns.
Drunk Pete wants a gun so bad. Sober Pete thinks guns are stupid and never wants one. But Drunk Pete starts looking around and, like, shit goes down.
Well, it's, you know, you can have it as a – there's a lot of reasons for why you might want one.
You have a big rifle.
You can – you...
Well, we haven't made it this weird in a while.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what do I say about guns?
I'm just saying, well, I'm here telling you that it does make sense. Like, I, of all people.
People, you know what's interesting about guns?
Yes.
Is once you, the people who, I know that there's big talk about gun control, this, that, and the other thing. And what's so amazing is if you had a gun, you'd be like blown away by how inaccurate all the criticism is.
Tell me what you mean.
Like the, you know, everyone who, it's just like all the gun control stuff is so laughable. It's crazy. Like the idea of trying to limit magazine sizes and all this stuff, it does nothing. It achieves nothing in an actual real life situation.
You're saying because you could just reload?
You just buy more magazines. You can have like, people are like, oh, don't have a 100-round magazine. But you can have 10 round magazines on you. And in some ways...
But doesn't the reloading slow you down? And that's what
you reload in 1 second. 1 second.
You're terrifying me. Because everybody... I'm not trying to be cute, funny, or anything. I'm just like, everybody has that thought when some horrible thing like Aurora happens. Everybody goes like, when was he reloading? That's when you got to tackle the motherfucker.
It's so quick. You don't get... Unless you have a gun... And that's you're trying to do that, like you're trying to shoot him when he can't shoot someone else in that process or something. But it doesn't make sense. And in some ways, you have a tactical advantage of having more magazines than one large one, because if you have a malfunction on the large one, then, you know, you just switch it out and you go to the other thing.
Interesting.
So you don't achieve anything on any like rationale you come at it from.
But can we... Look, I honestly stay out of politics. I'm very bad at telling big groups of people with different feelings what they should be doing. So I am out of my depth, and I admit that, but I'm gonna try my best here. When we do have those weapons that just don't seem to serve much other purpose other than mowing down large groups of people, can we agree that maybe civilians shouldn't be having those guns?
But, I mean, every gun is, you know... Which is, potentially lethal.
I mean, like, but like a six,
You have to draw the line. I understand what you're saying.
Like a six shooter revolver, like a .38 or whatever, is gonna fuck shit up. It's gonna help you. A shotgun and that are gonna help you if the government goes sideways and you need to protect your family. Whatever the argument is of not letting them take our gun. I don't know.
It's the problem is like I
can I just
that,
say by the way, going sideways is my favorite term. I think we should all use it. I learned it from the Bourne movies. He's like, if this goes sideways, I'm like, love it. I love that term in the middle of this kind of heavy conversation. I'd like to know if you're not interested, at least you're learning fun vocab.
Go sideways. Things go sideways.
Imagine talking to a girl and you're like, look, this is great. If things go sideways, I want us to be friends. That is like the best thing to fucking say. God.
Yeah, that is cool.
Sorry. So you...
Here's the thing. Like, I don't want to take like a political position on her or whatever, but it's just... All the things that people want to happen are impractical or just not, they wouldn't achieve anything. And that's what's so strange about the debate. Like, everyone can think whatever they want, but a lot of it is just misunderstanding of it, but there's so much emotion involved that I think people get kind of upset and all this stuff, and I understand, but
I also think we don't know what to do. As some, you know, I was raised,
right.
I went to a Quaker school. I wasn't
right.
A Quaker necessarily, but I was raised with a lot of their anti-war.
A lot of oatmeal.
I remember one of the reasons my mother wanted us to go to a Quaker school and kind of and sorry, I should have laughed. I'm sorry.
No, a lot keep of going. Just plow through. Just no, go
plow it. But plow? Was that a joke?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I liked it.
Don't worry about it.
Because Amish Quaker plowing. Anybody with a hoe and a mule. An acre of land. I just remember people don't know what to do. So if we take something, like no one would go, that's a tactical advantage to have 10 round clips or whatever. Like people are just like, that's a 100-round clip. That's ridiculous. Why are you shooting 100 round at anything?
Right. I understand it. And it's also, that's really heavy too. So the other thing is like, you know, people get weighed down with that. I mean, you could look at it from all different angles.
But we're feeling afraid. We're feeling sad. We're feeling vulnerable. We're feeling angry. And we do want something to do. Like, I'm the kind of guy that I'm like, yeah, ban a 100-round clip.
Right. Because it's easier to say that than to be like, well, let's address society or whatever. Because you don't know what to address. You don't know what that would do.
Right.
But so it seems like, well, this could be a stopgap measure, but it doesn't actually do anything. And then the other, you know, just like,
just as a thought experiment, what should we do? I'm sorry, finish your thought.
I think it's more just like the culture than anything. Because there's 300 million guns in this country.
What the fuck?
So that's about one per person, basically. You know, some people own, you know, hundreds.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not everyone's, I don't know how many actual gun owners there are, but there's millions of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this conversation, like, would have maybe made sense at the advent of semi-automatic weapons, you know, 100 years ago.
We're saying it's too late.
Yeah, it's just cats out of the bag at this point. Because then if you ban something, usually it's not retroactive. Like, you don't have to, like... Like when they did the assault weapons ban or whatever in 94, like you don't have to turn in something that is, it's more just for going forward. Like we're not going to allow the sale of this in the future.
Right.
So people already had that stuff. And so, you know, a lot of people have like real automatic weapons and they're very expensive because they're so rare. They're like, you know, it's like $40,000 to buy an actual automatic rifle. And you have to go through like ATF certification, all this stuff. There's like a lot of barriers for that kind of stuff. And I think that's, you know, another thing is people just get confused. They don't, if everyone knew like about guns, it would just make the conversation easier to have. Because then you can address these problems. Mm. But so much of it, every time I talk to someone, it's just like explaining what certain things are. Which is fine. I'm happy to do that. But, you know, they have a decision made up based on not knowing what, you know, like what is an assault rifle? You know, what is that? Do you know what that is?
Right. I hate Twitter. Look, I hate tragedies. I don't think I have to say that. But I hate Twitter the day of a tragedy.
Oh, right.
It always upsets me. And I know that they're talking about like somebody tweeted something where they were like, it was after Aurora and they were talking about like, banning automatic weapons, like one of his guns was like was a Glock, and I'm like, that is an automatic weapon. That's, you know what I mean? Like, isn't it? It's not.
That's a semi-automatic weapon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a semi right now.
All of his
weapons.
Then
I take out a gun. That'd be the funniest way to
go out with a bang.
Right. Look, you're making me so mad. I have a semi right now.
You got a semi erect? And then I have
the gun. Yeah. Okay. There we go. Interjecting a little fun. Having a little bit of fun. A little bit of fun.
A little terrifying fun.
Yep. That's a semi-automatic. But see, that just proved your point.
Yeah. All of his weapons were semi-automatic. So it's the difference between like the one that was a big, everyone was tweeting and blogging was this Bushmaster AR-15 business. That's the rifle that looks like the M16, the scary, you know.
Sure.
It's like a, what do they call it? Composite or whatever. It's all black.
Sure.
And it, you know, it's pretty like intimidating looking, but it is mechanically very similar. It does have like a magazine fed, you know, that's how it, you know, you can put a 30 round, 10 round, I think maybe at 100 round. I don't know. I think that was the Aurora guy, right? The, is that who we're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about them.
Or the school one. Either way, I think they had the same gun. But it's very similar to just a hunting rifle that you would take out into the woods.
Meaning it shoots like not it just a looks kind of different. Rate per minute or whatever.
It can, but round even the regular ones, you can shoot a lot through it if it has the magazine like that, and if it's not bolt action.
See, when I hear this sort of stuff, all I'm thinking about is that bolt action going through innocent people. Like, it's just, I think I'm guilty of just the fear. Like, all I'm feeling right now is empathy, fear, panic. Like, when I hear you kind of defending the weapon.
I know
but I'm like, fuck that weapon. That weapon did some fucked up shit. And
sure.
There's no lighter side of the news where people are like, that weapon like freed some children yesterday. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
yeah,
it's not doing anything good.
Yeah. I don't know. What
good do they do?
People do it for sport. People do it for like, it's, you know, in rural parts of the country, you can't go to... You know, they need entertainment in some way.
I guess.
And you go out into the woods and you shoot targets.
If I loved soccer and then someone in a big city was going in and killing people with a soccer ball and they were like, no more soccer, I'd be like, I'd fucking take up racquetball. You know what I mean? Like, I'd move on.
But would you think about it?
Or do you think I'd just keep playing my soccer?
Wouldn't you think like, yeah, but come on. I'm a responsible soccer player.
It's a fair point.
You know?
I kind of wanted to make kind of a jokey point, but...
I'm sorry.
No. Please.
I'm sorry, Pete. This has become... Now we're a McLaughlin group over here.
McGlock.
Started out with all the jokes.
Haven't we had a good talk about... Was it you? Did we talk about your post-apocalyptic strategy where you do get a Glock, like the police issue Glock, because the theory is that it'll be easy to find ammo for that?
I don't know. I mean, you could... It's more... That's the caliber?
Yeah.
I don't know what they actually use in Los Angeles. It's probably 9mm.
So the idea, I find that sort of thinking where it's like, if the world's going to end.
That's why people have the AR-15, that gun, because that's the NATO round.
Uh-huh.
So that's part of the thinking is like for people who are, what do you call that?
Preparing for the apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah. That would be part of the rationale.
As I call it, engaged to get married. I'm just joking. Using humor, like keeping it light.
Right. Keep it light. We'll keep it light.
Every time I try and keep it light, I point out that I'm keeping it light. Well, okay. So, what gun do you have? You don't want to tell me, do you?
No. But I mean, it's pretty. You know, I don't know. I shouldn't say anything about it. I don't have those big assault rifles, though.
Right, but you could get one.
Yeah, but it's also, yeah.
I
don't have a purpose for it.
I was talking to a famous Hollywood type that was telling me that he went and got a concealed weapon permit, and he was really adamant about, like, a human's right to defend himself. Now, you know me, and you know that whoever I'm talking to, this is a flaw, and maybe it's a quality of mine, I'm not sure. But whoever I'm talking to, I'll give the benefit of the doubt and, like, be persuaded, at least initially, by what they're saying. And this guy, and also aided by the fact that he was famous, was, like, very convincing. And he was like, if somebody comes up to me and they're attacking me, I have a right to defend myself. And he could be trained and all that sort of stuff. He was like, that's my dignity as a human is to protect myself from this lunatic. And that's why he carries a concealed weapon.
Right. And I think a lot of celebrities do that. Bill Maher he owns guns.
But, like, have concealed permits and stuff?
I don't know if he has permits, but I know he has guns.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, a 20-minute conversation, especially if we're drinking, and you will convince me that we should all be carrying guns. But I'm the guy who just wants to live on a commune and grow my own kale. I really do.
Right. I mean, I think you
could... really hate them. I've shot them, and it really scared me.
The thing is, like... You go to a gun range, people are so polite. People are so like...
Yeah, because what are you going to be like? Hey, jerk off, get out of the booth to a guy holding a shotgun.
Right, so it does... It creates like a different society, I think.
I don't like that society.
Yeah, you don't want to be like... I don't think it's really going to be beneficial to everyone to walk around with a gun.
Right.
Just because, you know, people are... I mean, people can barely handle driving around on the streets, you know?
Right.
They're kind of...
Well, that's always...
You have to be trained. You have to really be like...
Katie, do you have a gun?
Good with this, with safety.
Katie's got so many guns.
That would be... I mean, I could see her
just a belt of ammo across her chest. Not a big deal.
I think if you're really responsible with it, then it's fine, but...
That guy, the famous person that was very pro-gun, was telling me also that the Aurora guy went to a gun-free zone.
Like, well, that's another argument is... And, you know, I mean, I don't know what to make of it. I haven't really thought of it. But all those shootings, schools in the movie theater are gun-free. So the gun pro-gun people
Yes.
make that argument of, well, you know, if we had guns here and all this. And I mean, I don't think people, I don't think the guy, I don't, honestly, I just don't think people are motivated to shoot up a school because they have no guns there. I think it's because they have some psychological issue that's
right.
rooted in early childhood or whatever. Well,
that was with
school.
That was with the school one, but like the movie theater one did seem, I don't know.
Yeah, there were like I think they were saying how there were a few theaters and he drove to one further from his house.
Yeah.
And it was one that, but like, I don't know. I don't know what to really
see, but that
what weight to put on that.
I guess that's just the lizard part of my brain. Like the basic, we're in the woods, and I'm like the first thing you would do if you were in a desert island and a plane crash, and it's me and you, David.
Right.
And at night we realize there's things rustling around and shit. And
all right, yeah, go to the woods. And anytime you're out in the woods,
right?
Like you can be in. It's not that other people are the. Right. Fear. You want to have something.
Right.
Because it's a bear that's going to come at you. What are you going
to
do?
On our bodies, we don't have anything. We're not,
yeah, you
we're
have
not
nothing.
Rhinoceros.
What you have is the ability to create other, you know, the brain that gives you the thought to do that.
The Into the Wild kid brought a gun, and that seemed like a pure expression of when you should have a gun.
Right. I think a lot of bikers have them, you know, I'm sure. Although, I don't know. But there's...
But you can convince me, because I'm a descendant from apes, to be like... get a gun, and I'm like, yeah, fucking A.
Right.
But I don't think that makes it a bad point, and I'm not trying to put down pro-gun people and call them chimps. I'm just saying that's the part of my brain that will always sympathize with, oh, the one way we could stop this, because I fantasize, just like everybody, I think, about stopping these things. You know what
right.
I mean? Like you
it's a, yeah.
lay in, like I'll sometimes lay or napping or whatever. I'm just fading away. And especially the day that it happened or whatever, I think everybody plays a scenario where you saved the day or stopped it. Like you just wished you could have stopped it so badly. And the ones,
right.
you know, if you, and this is kind of vulnerable to talk about, I guess, but like some of them involve you having a gun and being like, it's classic Dirty Harry. It's like you want to be the guy that's like...
Well, that's how you'd have to do it.
What's up?
You know, you just... It's suicide to go at someone if you're unarmed like that and they have guns.
Of course. Of course.
And there was a weird, like, article, I think it was in The Nation or something, after the Sandy Hook business, how saying that, you know, no one with a gun ever stopped a mass shooting. And I thought that was weird. I mean, I didn't really get into the details of it. But I just someone posted it, you know, how
yeah.
everyone does that stuff. But it's like, well, you know, you can't quantify that, because if someone stops a shooting before it becomes a mass shooting, then it doesn't, then it's.
Don't you think that
you
would be
know.
News? Wouldn't, you don't think that would
well,
be.
Well, it happens all the time that someone shoots someone else
right.
in like defense.
Right.
So, but you, if it doesn't escalate to a mass shooting because they actually shot them.
If someone went into a public park or whatever with a lot of weapons strapped up with a gas mask and someone shot that guy, they'd be like, would all be like, imagine that would be a hero. He'd get a day.
Right. But I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know how common mass shootings are. I don't know the numbers. See, I didn't come here prepared to defend.
Oh, I hope you don't feel like you have to defend
all this
anything.
Stuff. But I think please. It's, for me, it's just like, you know, if you have, there are other people with guns out there, and the line between law and lawlessness is very thin, you know. You don't know what can happen. It's just preparedness. So from my perspective, it's just rational.
Sure.
You know, I don't, and I'm not doing it because I'm trying to make a political point, or I'm trying to be, I have anger, or I have issues, or, you know, like something like that. It's just like, you know, I have, you know, like in my car, I have road flares.
You do?
You know, yeah. And just like jumper cables. Like people have stuff to be prepared for things. And, you know, just because everything goes smoothly right now doesn't mean it always will. And it doesn't mean that, you know, because you have a gun, you necessarily use it in that kind of way. But why not just, you know, have it?
Yeah. I think this actually goes back to you thinking about the gold in Fort Knox, which we need you to finish that point, by the way. There's just knuckleheads like me who are just kind of floating above all of this and not really thinking too much about it. And that doesn't make me stupid, but I just kind of – maybe it does. But I mean, like your road flares and jumper cables, and you know, I have like raw chocolate and a change of shoes
just
in my
good.
Car. That's what I do have a backpack with. I bought an earthquake pack, and it doesn't have.
Oh, good. Yeah, see? But that's
it has a combat knife in it.
See,
I mean,
exactly.
Like, that's a thing. But I mean, like.
But a knife is useful for more than combat.
But that's
like
the thing.
It's
called
it
a combat knife. I bought it so I could, like,
right.
whittle and, you know,
right, yeah.
write
totally
my
useful.
Story
a
into
knife
a picnic
is so
table.
Useful to have.
Sure.
for anything. And it's not like
water purification.
And you can say, yeah, well, not for that. Well, that's another thing. But a knife.
Oh, not the knife. I'm just saying other things I have in there.
You have water purification, like tablets?
Yep.
Good for you.
Rain stuff.
See, you have all those things.
Tent. But I was dating a girl that really freaked me out about earthquakes. See, this is what I'm saying. Like, a 10-minute conversation with you, if we're drinking, and I will go online and be like, Pete's going to get a gun. But, like, if you were sitting here and, like, we should get rid of all the guns and we were drinking tea, I would be like, we should get rid of all the guns.
Right. But, see, the thing about that argument is that's impossible.
Which one?
You can't get rid of all the guns.
No, I understand.
So with that understanding, it's hard to kind of adopt that as a position, even though people want that and it's like a utopian version of things. Like, there's no violence. Everyone's good. That just isn't the reality.
Well, why does Great Britain not have like an influx of like smuggled guns? Because you get them and the cops don't have them and everybody just goes nuts.
Well, they don't have like a, they have a pretty bad crime rate. It's not like, there's no violent crime over there. There's maybe less stuff with guns.
Right.
But there's like I think one of the worst, it might have been the worst shooting in history was this guy. I wish I had studied up. I think Norway or something.
I really don't want you to feel like you have to defend this.
I think it was a Norwegian guy.
Okay.
And this is the worst. He killed like 71 people. And it was with a rifle. It was the Mini 14, which is kind of similar to the
other gun we were talking about.
Yeah, although it looks, I mean, you can get it with wood and stock, and it kind of looks just like a nondescript rifle. But he bought it out in another country somehow. I don't know, because guns are totally banned in that country too.
Sure.
And so he, you know, it just shows it's not really like the laws, or you know, there's, they do something to a point, but yeah, people can end up doing like crazy shit.
I think, okay, so let's take the scope out a little bit. If we're using the microscope, let's go back a little bit and talk about like what the real issue is. You know what I mean? Like with humanity, because when you're talking, I'm like, oh, people are scary. People are fucked up and bad things happen.
Right. Well, I mean,
and
honestly,
people use the tools at their disposal.
I know this is going to sound real Tipper Gore stuff, but that Batman shooting to me, have you seen Batman the movie?
It ruined, look, that I'm not here to say that even deserves to be brought up, but there's so much random gunfire.
There's so much. But that's how it is in movies now. So that is like, so clearly the guy was influenced by Batman. You know, he was dressed as the Joker. You know, it obviously had some impact on
him. He was
dressed
as the Joker?
Yeah. He had his hair dyed and he thought he was the Joker. That was the whole angle of that.
Oh, I didn't. It makes me really sad to keep up with it. I get the basic knowledge and I kind of stop reading.
I mean, so like that kind of stuff obviously has an impact on people. And then I think honestly, like this makes me the worst person on Nerdist.com, but video games, I cannot believe how violent they are.
Yeah.
Like that stuff to me, like I wouldn't play those games.
I'll tell you, when I do play those games, I'm not necessarily at my best. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Although that being said, I feel like I'm in a pretty good place right now and I'm playing Bioshock and that's a lot of shotgunning people in the face.
Right. But like, I think I there's a cumulative effect to that.
I do use the shotgun, by the way.
In the, you know, get that spread.
I love a
clip. Bill Burr has a super funny, he did that joke.
Nothing you care about? You just sit in the corner?
Yeah. He has funny gun jokes.
Right.
I don't have gun jokes. I don't talk about this on stage.
You could, man.
Now people would be turned off. But
except everybody that agrees with you,
Anyone in Los Angeles. Video games. That back in the early 90s or whatever, you know, there was this kind of like, you know, Tipper Gore, like I said, was saying how video games cause, you know, kids to, you know, be violent and all this stuff, and it was kind of debunked. It's like, no, it's not. That's not the way it is. But that was like Mega Man. I mean, now it's so realistic,
right?
I think it's a different conversation to have. I don't think it's I think it's different.
We all have a decent understanding. And this, let's just all put this under the umbrella of a thought experiment. You know what I mean? Because I'm a guy who played a violent video game yesterday. So we can understand that. But I can also completely understand both sides. Again, my flaw and perhaps my
quality. No, that's good.
But Rich Hall has, and I've quoted it on the show before, has this amazing bit where he's like, people say video games and movies don't increase your likelihood to do something violent or whatever, even though, you know, there's a level in Modern Warfare, which I played, where you're a terrorist and you're undercover and the whole point of the thing is to mow down civilians in a shopping mall that are fleeing.
Right.
And I played that and I felt real dirty in my soul. I felt real, real dirty.
That's the, and all these shooters, aren't they, I think they all are big video game players.
I mean,
hasn't that been the thing?
I don't, look, if you have the desire to shoot people, I think simulating shooting people is probably going to be up your alley. Absolutely. But his point, Rich Hall's bit is he goes, like, people say that a video, don't be preposterous, playing a violent video game doesn't make it more likely for you to, you know, in Grand Theft Auto, run over a prostitute or whatever.
Right.
And certainly I can see that point. But then he goes, it's very funny, he goes, but I'm talking to a room full of people and hundreds of you made a car insurance decision based on a talking gecko. Like you
right.
saw a gecko.
Right.
And there is that like advertising works. Mm-hmm. If we're going to go with the thought experiment of Rich Hall and agree with him here,
right.
advertising works. I see a movie where someone smokes. I said this to John Hamm. I said, when I watch Mad Men, I'm 100,000% more likely to drink scotch or smoke a cigarette or call a girl dear. Like, it's just going to happen because
right.
I'm a fucking idiot. I'm a fucking idiot. I am. But, like, I'm also rational and reasonable. Like, I'm both at the same time.
Right. Well,
like,
that's why they do that stuff.
Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs.
Right.
A lot of people listening to this show just became a little bit more likely to eat Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs because it's fucking delicious and the milk tastes like chocolate and peanut butter.
Right. I mean, that's why they do advertising. That's why they do product placement. It's not because you're stupid. It's because has those types of images
yes.
has an effect on people. And so I think it's when, you know, after the shootings, it's always everyone wants to say we need this gun control, which I know to be completely ineffective and probably wouldn't have stopped or any of the things that people are talking about. But they never want to talk about that stuff.
About
video games, because that's a multi-billion dollar. Call of Duty makes $1 billion every time
sure.
it comes out. And, you know, a lot of people like video games. See, because you like, you know, a lot of people in the cities like video games a lot.
Right.
In the country, they may like guns as their entertainment. The actual sure. thing is to go out and use a real one and shoot a target.
It's
the same thing.
What you just did is bridging, and it's very, very helpful for me. Because you just made me realize that if someone was like, we're going to take away your BioShock Infinite or we're going to ask you to turn it in, I would be like, go fuck yourself.
Right.
And if they were like, I'm going to take your gun, maybe Country Pete or wherever. I'm not trying to put down the country, but I live in the country and I have a rifle and the government's like, we're going to take your rifle. That's how City Pete feels about BioShock.
Right. And you know that you, City Pete, playing BioShock isn't contributing to violence in the world.
Because I'm a grown-ass man and I don't have those
And you're
impulses.
Not crazy. Yeah.
I don't have those.
So that's why there's some tension because in the city, people kind of drive the dialogue. You know, in the news media and all this stuff.
Right.
And I think that's...
Because there's more of us.
Right. And, I mean, a lot of people own guns in the city. But, you know, you say the country because you need a lot of land to just, like, go around and shoot. So it's kind of like...
Sure.
That's just the way it is.
I'm just picturing Wyoming.
Wyoming is beautiful.
It is beautiful. Beautiful
state.
Yeah, sure.
I love it. There's a town there called Ten Sleep.
Oh, I know Ten Sleep.
Very nice.
I'm
Do
just
you?
Kidding. I wish I did.
It's a nice town.
It's a great sounding town. Sounds like a screenplay, Ten Sleep.
Yeah.
Is it T-E-N-S-L-E-E-P?
Yeah, two words. It's like an Indian thing for that's how many days it took to get to there from somewhere or whatever.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a lot of cool places. I spent time in Wyoming. Wyoming, great state. Great. Well, I want to say hello to the great people of Wyoming.
Sure. Well, it's funny that you, speaking of Wyoming and speaking of advertising and speaking of just our saturation, and this is really, I think this is pulling mm-hmm. the scope out a little bit. When I drive here, I'm often struck by how many things I say to the guests. I was just thinking this on the ride over.
Right.
Why am I thinking about so many things? Because there's words and information everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quiet. I'm not with myself. I'm not driving through fields of corn or wheat or whatever. I'm looking at the new fucking billboards, and I'm drowning. Second time drowning's come up. I'm drowning in it, and we all are.
Right.
And it's kind of it. I think it might be dulling us.
Well, yeah, of course. I actually did a one man show about advertising, and I talked about this a lot because I think and the I remember talking. You know, just because Arrested Development's back, I remember this, and I've never, honest to God, I've never seen the show.
Arrested Development.
I've never seen it.
You'd enjoy it.
But people always talk, it's very smart and funny. So, you know, at the time, it had been canceled and everyone was upset about it. And it's the type of thing, like, the show like that, I didn't know the ratings. I still don't know what the ratings are. But, you know, you don't want people to be that smart. You don't want to attract a super smart, savvy audience because your point in commercial broadcasting is to trick them into buying toilet paper or something. So the whole idea is like, that's why a lot of shows that may be dumber, but, you know, get similar ratings or whatever.
I've never seen it, but like a 2.5 Men might be broad, or as we were saying before, Full House, which I enjoyed.
Right. So
broad.
Let's say Full House.
Broad show.
Or two and a half men. Is it still on the air?
I think so.
So the viewership of that show, even if it's the same numbers as Arrested Development, might be more valuable to advertisers because they might be more amenable to the message you're telling them during the breaks.
Right. Meaning, it's kind of hard to tiptoe around what you're saying, but like if a show like Arrested Development, is this what you're saying? A show like Arrested Development, which has arguably a more sophisticated sense of humor, it's going to be referencing things that are a little bit more in a different zeitgeist, a little bit higher education. It's like the New Yorker. The ad space in the New Yorker is for berets and like scotch houses in the Hamptons. Like it really is because it's kind of worthless. Right. That's why the New Yorker is like in the red. You know what I mean? Like they're losing money. They're not going to exist in 10 years probably, even though I love the New Yorker. I'm just saying because it's a garbage demographic. These people, the New Yorker is an above college education, meaning most of these people have like doctorates and whatnot.
Those people are still very pliable.
Sure.
But it's just to different things.
Right.
And they may be – you know, it's that kind of, they may have some awareness to advertising, but they're still, it's not that they can't be tricked into doing, you know, or believing other things, but they just, the way advertising works, I think, you know, you want people who are, you know, just kind of like, oh, hey, that's an interesting, this is funny. This could, like people think commercials.
Right. Well, for lack of a better term, you want some salt of the earth. I'm just trying not to be condescending to these people because, you know, to be honest, I've spent more of my life being that kind of person than the kind of person I am now. The kind of asshole I am now is I'll spend $8 on a cold pressed juice because I'm a fucking dick. But something I won't do is buy a 12 pack of Coke Zero. I know I've been on the show plugging Coke Zero, but I gave up aspartame. I gave up all that soda shit because of that kind of New Yorker reader sort of different style of person. So I'm not – so you look at like a Coke, and if you want to get people to buy $1.50 for 2 liters of Coke that costs them 2 cents, that's good business. So if we can appeal to the people that like love Coke, which is most people, and as I was saying, that was me up until like 3 years ago, not even.
Right. I mean, the markup on juice is way better, but there's a smaller customer base.
Right. Which is probably why it's so much.
And the problem with advertising is it's probably the most dominant form of communication in our country, but it is the, you know, aimed at the lowest common denominator for maximum economic benefit.
And
that has an effect on everyone.
It sure does.
Even if you, like, I don't think I've honestly ever bought anything based on advertising.
Really?
I honestly don't think, just thinking about
Reese's
what I own.
Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs.
I don't even know what those are when you said it. I didn't even know what those are.
Delicious cereal that I wouldn't eat now. Oh, I'm not a monster. I go to your house. We have a sleepover. You give me Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs. All I'm going to do is thank you and eat 3 bowls. So I'm trying very hard not to be too much of a monster.
Right, right.
You have to have. What shoes are you wearing?
I wear... you know what? I don't want to say... The reason I don't want to say...
Because you don't
is because I tried to be their spokesperson... And they rebuffed me.
What do you mean?
And it's not a cool brand. I mean, it looks like orthopedic shoes. They're not cool.
I've noticed your shoes before, and I think they look nice.
No, they're not.
They look corrective. I'm kidding.
People make fun of them all the time.
Well, you got big ass feet.
I know. That's another problem. But
what is that, 14?
It's a 14. But the
not impressed at all that I just called your feet. If we were at a circus, you'd owe me 25 cents.
Right?
I'm 13. I'm just.
If you owe me 25.
I'm as big as you can be without having to go to your freak orthopedic store.
Every shoe store ends at 13.
That's right.
And then every shoe is designed for 9.5. So they look ridiculous at 13.
Yeah. That's right. And I'm a 38 waist, I think, 36 or 38, which is like the biggest, most play. Like I really lucked out. Like I don't have to go to the cop store, the big and tall. I don't got to go to where the cops go.
Yeah, I got to order everything online.
Yeah, I understand. But you're living in a good time for that because you can get those fucking
I know. I like shoes. That. It's convenient.
So you don't want to give them the airplane?
I know because I'm mad at them that they didn't I had a perfect campaign for them. I was going to do... This is back like when I lived in New York.
This sounds like bonkers shit. This sounds like you should be writing a manifesto in the woods, though. If you want a company to take you on as their spokesperson, and you're mad that they didn't.
Because they... But no, but you know what it was? They didn't... They wouldn't even kind of let me do the pitch.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was bad business. I'm here I am. Because they're aiming... They're trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And they're the least cool shoe there is.
Okay.
And they're not a big company.
Are they in L.A.?
No, but this was when I lived on the East Coast, and I had the best ad campaign. Like it wasn't a commercial. It was just like, we'll do it as a, because at the time I was working for a marketing company doing a lot of video productions.
Yes. Stuff.
And so it was kind of like everyone had these little microsite businesses. That was like the hot thing, which no one ever went to. Like it would be like Clorox bleach, come to our microsite. Like,
right, I remember.
Who was going to that?
Like Dimitri Martin had that one for Windows.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I have no interest in any. The product I love the most, I'm not going to go to their website and click around on some Flash game. I mean, it made no sense. But I thought I had a funny, like...
But that was in Tipping Point. It's the people that do are, like, invaluable.
Well, I know. I was actually talking to a friend about that this week.
He does, Mavens.
Like, he does a Facebook game company thing. Like, they make... Those games where you like buy tokens and you just click the mouse.
Sure.
And yeah, most people hate it. They think it's stupid. They wouldn't waste their time. But there's 1% of people who do it, and then they generate millions of dollars in revenue.
Wow.
So there is like that kind of, you know, cast a wide net business.
Yeah, it's like if you ask 100,000 people for a dollar, maybe 5,000 of them will say yes.
Right. But anyway, I mean, I understand. I mean, I'm not genuinely serious that I'm like actually mad at this company.
No, I get it.
But
fine.
I don't want to actually say the name because
I get it.
They had their chance.
But that is some lunacy, though, because like we've both written for TV, and you know, you wrote for Fallon, and if someone came up to you and was like, "I got a Fallon," even if they were a genius, you'd be like, "I can't look at your packet." Like that, I'm sure that is just Jimmy.
I don't
Fallon.
Think that's the way marketing works, though.
But they don't think that's how TV works.
No, but I worked in marketing. I think that I had a good idea. Just hear out the idea.
I really want you to pitch the idea. You would be so much closer if you said the name of the brand and then told me the idea. They might hear it. We've gotten sponsorships before. I mentioned Hulu once, and they gave me free Hulu. I was a little upset that Coke didn't want. I have that joke about McDonald's. What's that? Coke sent us coupons because I'm always mentioning, even though I shit on them all the time, I mentioned Coke Zero. I call it a Billy Corgan because he had that shirt. Or I call it Washington, D.C. Diet Coke. So I have all these things when I used to be a heavy user of their acrid product.
Yeah, of their product line.
Hey, thanks for the coupons. I gave it to Kumail. He loves your product. He loves your shit.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
that's
he
good.
Loves it.
Kumail, they want to see Kumail with a Diet Coke.
Sure.
Out public.
Why not?
Yeah, that'd
he's
be
a
nice.
Taste setter.
Taste they gave, trend maker.
They gave a good friend of ours, who cares, it was TJ, they gave him a MacBook Air just because they were like, we want you to be seen with a MacBook Air.
Apple did that?
Yeah, I want some of that shit. That's some good stuff.
Where are you seen with a computer?
On an airplane. The rich get richer. That's the law of the land. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
When you don't need to be given a computer, you're given a computer. It is a huge, it's a huge thing. Think
but,
about
you know, they get... They give value in return. That's why they're rich.
Yeah, I guess so. So you don't want to do that. But let's go mention your shoe. That's fine. But
critical is my shoe brand to the continuation of this episode?
What about your food? What about your?
I'm on a raw foods diet ever since my gas got shut off.
You are funny. You're funny.
I actually don't have gas in my apartment, so I am actually genuinely eating raw foods.
That's so funny. But I mean, like, I'm trying to find something that you bought because of advertising.
Never. I
just don't believe that. I'm Don Draper. The reason why advertising works is because no one thinks it works.
But I'm just picturing my house. There's nothing in there. And if I ever bought anything, it was just price comparisons.
Really?
It was never based on...
See, I bought a Volkswagen. Why? Because they're fun and it's light,
right.
And it sends a message that I don't take myself too seriously. You know what I mean? Like, I'm aware of,
the weirdest way to overthink it.
I know. I'm the advertising guy. Right. They are looking for me.
Right.
You got some money, you can buy a car, and we're saying like, hey, we're Volkswagen and we're fun and we're modern.
And that's why I would never buy a car like that.
And I'm like, I bought it for those reasons.
I love, and maybe we can get a sponsorship out of this.
I bought a Sony TV. Why? Because it's a Sony.
Really?
Because it's Sony.
Really?
Because I'm just like, Sony, Japanese precision. Sony. I mean, like, I didn't even have to look the best. Like, I was in the Best Buy looking side by side.
Wow.
If there was a Sony and a Kobe, and the Kobe looked better, I would get the Sony.
Well, yeah. I mean, you probably want, like, they do have, they have longevity. And in the electronic business, that's kind of a nice
premium
to have. But there are other, like, Panasonic, I think, is a very good company, too. They used to.
But here's what I think. Panasonic sounds like I'm being shocked while cooking. Panasonic. Sony. Would you like a Sony? What is it? Some sort of sushi? Is it a delicious drink? Sony. I'm an idiot. I'm feeling like a real idiot this episode, which is fine because I don't think I'm alone. And at least I know I'm an idiot.
I mean, people do buy stuff based on brand. I don't think that's wrong. I think it's just as, you know, some of my decisions are just as arbitrary sometimes when I look back.
Yeah.
But I think I kind of go for, I overprice. I'm a huge cheapskate. Huge. So I kind of go by that. I like to get value. I'll pay a lot for something if I think it's worth it.
See, that's funny that you put value in that frugality. Did you learn that from your parents or did you kind of make that up on your own?
No, I think I got that from when I worked young. I always kind of had a job. Mm. And so, but I didn't make any money because, you know, you work these terrible jobs where you get, you know, minimum wage or whatever. You don't really have anything. So the money you have to really stretch. Hmm. And my parents, they didn't have life lessons they gave or anything, but they didn't give me that much money. Like, I never really got anything from them. They never had like an allowance or anything. So it was always just my own funds available to me. And when it was very thin, you kind of like obsess more about stretching it properly.
Yeah.
And I think that trains you to be kind of cheap.
But that can go either way. There are a lot of economically challenged people in this country that will buy the Sony. You know what I mean?
That people do it as a status symbol sometimes where it's like, hey, look at this, you know,
right.
Because they want to impress people to draw attention away from their lack of, sure. You know, maybe financial independence or whatever.
Mm.
But I don't care about that. I mean, I think you can make, because you're just throwing money away that you can, if you think long term about it, you can go spend money. And not to say like Sony's the wrong pick. I don't want to, you know, sometimes you have to pay more.
Would love some, I'd rather, some coupons.
We would.
Yeah.
I had a mini disc, you know, Sony.
Oh, sure.
That was their format.
I had a mini disc too.
You know, they had a lot of good, Sony's thing was they always had, they would come up with new acquisition formats and then they wouldn't do that well. So they had mini disc, and then it kind of faded away.
Right.
They had something else. And then they did Blu-ray, right? Which they succeeded at.
If you had told me Blu-ray was going to beat HDVD.
Right.
HDVD.
Right.
It sounded like a no-brainer.
It sounded official.
Yeah. And Blu-ray.
Right. It sounds like some gimmick.
And it won.
And it won because they have a lot of power in the. But you know why they did that? I think they won because I don't remember the timelines on this stuff. But they have an acquisition format in video called XDCam. Mm-hmm. I think it's very similar to Blu-ray. And so everyone in the broadcast business was using XDCam. Mm.
Because so
they use Sony cameras and whoever the competitor, whoever, I don't know who came up with HD DVD.
Probably Panasonic.
Panasonic has...
Dinner will be ready in a second.
Yeah, just a live wire at the end of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
Panasonic, a great Japanese company. I would also like coupons. Matsushita, I think, is the company.
Well.
Panasonic.
I love it.
They had a good camera, too. They had the Varicam, which in 2004.
The Varicam?
The Varicam. It was a big video camera.
I used to love this stuff. All I wanted when I was a kid was a video camera. Now every phone has them. I'm so jealous of the kids growing up that can like film things.
Ugh, it's the worst. Don't you hate that? I'm so happy I didn't grow up when everyone had a camera. Have you been on World Star Hip Hop?
No.
You got to go to that site. People, anytime anyone has any fight, anything embarrassing at all happen,
yeah,
there's someone there with their camera.
Filming it for World Star.
I mean, what a disaster.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
this goes back to no Jesus.
I'm so happy I didn't. Yeah, yeah, it does. I'm so happy I didn't have people videotaping me when I was when I'm 11 or something.
I agree.
Good God.
We didn't have that option. I remember my friend was videotaping me rollerblading, and I know it's already funny, and I'm wearing all the pads, just all of the pads.
Yeah, of course.
And I fell, and I landed on my tailbone and just knocked the wind out of myself, which is like the worst. It's like knocking the wind out of yourself sounds so playful and light, and it's like the worst feeling in the world. All right. So I'm just like coughing, flopping on the floor like a flounder.
Right.
I'm floundering, really. And he filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, thank God, it wasn't like, let's go upload this. It was like,
right.
I said, erase that
shit. It's on a VHS tape.
Well, he taped over it. It's probably an episode of Full House. Tell me what the dollar is. You didn't finish that.
The dollar.
I tried to tell you what a dollar was, and I couldn't tell you.
I hope I'm not. This is all right. This is all right for the show, right? I want to be funny and stuff, but it's hard enough.
Do you know how tired I am? Like, people talk about the same sorts of things or whatever. I'm always trying to get some new thing. You know?
All right.
And not to say that the guests are tiring. I'm just saying normally it's hard for me to steer people into unique areas. So this is great.
I don't have any jokes on this stuff. That's my fear.
You've clearly never listened to the show. It's not a heavy joke show.
All right.
Although
because this is like
I'm going to interject lots of jokes. Don't worry.
All right, yeah, you be standing by with the jokes.
I'll be here hosting the show.
Just let's make sure we get the roles right.
Yeah, okay. Jesus.
So the dollar is the promise to pay back in the future another dollar. It's nothing. It is literally nothing.
That just made my brain hurt. The dollar is the promise in the future another dollar.
There's no gold backing. That's all nonsense.
It's baloney.
There's no gold.
No gold.
So maybe there is gold. You know, there's gold I think it's all mostly in New York, in the New York Federal Reserve Building.
There's gold in them hills. See?
See, you did it.
Yeah. There's gold in New York, or I don't know where we keep it.
In New York, in Lower Manhattan.
Yeah.
I think a Die Hard movie was based on that, actually.
One of my
wasn't that one with Sam Jackson? They were trying to get the gold out of the Federal Reserve.
And then there was the conspiracy. Some of the 9/11 conspiracies involve the idea that there was gold at the base of the World Trade Center.
Oh. But what would that factor in?
I don't know. Brendan Fraser's looking for it. There's a map on the back of the stamp. I don't know anymore. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never knew. keep going.
So there's nothing.
So it's all just faith?
It's all just faith in the Federal Reserve System, which is kind of like, you know, this group of banks. They're like nonprofit, but they're you know, commissioned by Congress. There's all this kind of.
You're the guy at the tour of the Mint with his kid that keeps whispering to the kid during the tour, like the truth.
All right,
and the guy's like, "Sir, sir." Please.
Well, the Mint is the Bureau of Printing and Engraving, and they make the notes for the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
So, like, they don't really see. People think the money really is a banknote. It's from the bank. It's not really like U.S. money.
It's bank money.
So there's all these different, like, if you really look at what a dollar is, like the Treasury, which is the U.S. government, they do make some money, but they only make coins.
Okay.
So like a coin money.
The money no one cares about.
That's a direct obligation of the Treasury.
And a good tool for magic.
Yes. And to like loosen screws on things sometimes.
With a dime. Or a good trick for an uncle.
Often
I can do that. Year.
The French drop. Look it up on YouTube.
Sure.
The French drop.
I know what a French drop is.
For the viewers.
I'm just saying.
So
people that just stare at the ticker of the iTunes, the viewers.
Yeah, I know. But,
so it's all
the
bullshit.
The coin is, and they have different values. So they actually don't even equal each other.
Some of them just don't care about humanity at all, just different values.
They do. Jesus.
I'm trying. I'm gonna make every joke that I think of. It's gonna be very hard to listen to.
So for instance, a dollar from the US government.
Yes.
The only one they make is a American Eagle silver dollar. And that is a dollar per the US Treasury.
Okay.
But if you want to go buy one of those with the money you have in your wallet that says Federal Reserve Bank.
Yes.
It's going to cost you about $25.
To get a silver dollar.
To get a dollar that's a U.S. government dollar.
Okay.
See how it's complicated?
Yeah, it's complicated. I feel like you're about to sell me a timeshare. You're right. I do work too hard and I love Miami. Where do I sign?
So the definitions aren't even consistent, but the money we all use is the Federal Reserve's money.
Right.
And that is...
There's one fancy guy with those $25 ones that's going around flicking them at people, giving them to babies.
Well, yeah, a lot of people have the silver dollars. Yeah, it's collectible, or people have them for silver. It's like kind of a silver bullion thing. Mm. And the U.S. Treasury makes a gold coin that's got a notational value of $50.
I see that on infomercials.
Yeah, they paint them sometimes, and they think they can mark it up. But the $50 coin, if you wanted to buy it today, would cost you probably, I don't know, I didn't look at the prices, but probably $1,500,
$1,600. So doesn't that mean we should have bought them? This is an infomercial now. We should have bought them when the value was 50?
No, because the value is set on the market. Because it's gold.
Ah.
So you could have bought it when it was 50, but only they would have only been 50 because the dollar, they were in sync, the values of those two money.
Okay.
But now they're not. So there's no tie between gold and the dollar like there used to be. That's the Fort Knox. So when there was Fort Knox, and it was gold was $35 for 1 ounce. So the coin was $35.
Uh-huh.
And you could take 35 American dollars, you know, the ones with George Washington on the...
I know that dollar.
You could take those, and you could take 35 of them, and you get the gold. Because it was equal to that.
Right.
But then when they took away the connection, then the amount of paper money you needed has just been rising. You know, with fluctuations, obviously. But
Flux capacitor.
Flux capacitor.
Fort Knox. Knox was the reporter in Batman. Vicky Vale.
Good. Free association now.
NyQuil. Vic. Vixie Vale. That's what I call her when she's sick. Check out Vixie Vale over here.
Vixie Vale.
Just rubbing Vapo-Rub. Remember when Michael Keaton fucked Vicky Vale and it was just because he covered the screen with his cape and he totally raped her?
Was that the first one or the second one?
He took advantage of her. It was non-consensual. It's in the first one.
I don't remember the first one.
He drugs her, and then she wakes up, and she has like a note in her bra, and it's like, Batman was here.
Really?
Yeah, basically.
Is that the one with Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
The second one was Penguin?
Yeah, Danny DeVito.
Oh, right.
Also had a Paul Rubens cameo right at the heat, while the heat of him jaying it in the theater was hot. Tim Burton was like, fuck it, I'm putting Pee-wee in the movie.
What did he play?
He played, I believe he played the Penguin's father briefly.
Mm, interesting.
And then if you stayed till the end of the credits, there was like a long steady cam shot of him jerking off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like before
that make the DVD?
It's on the DVD.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And he comes everywhere. I mean, like he's walking around the world. It's weird that come means two
it
things.
It does, isn't it?
I just mean he's coming
it's not
everywhere.
Very convenient.
Yeah, not ejaculating.
Obviously.
I would say ejaculating if I meant ejaculating.
Yeah.
Riffing bits,
guys.
Okay, sorry. I can't follow your money talk anymore, and that's my fault.
I know. Well, it's not confusing, and it's deliberately confusing.
Yeah.
So people don't really try to investigate it. I remember this one point when I talked to someone who worked at the Federal Reserve, and I tried to get them to explain it simply, and they couldn't do it.
Of course not. And then they ripped off their mask, and they were a lizard person.
That's the thing. It's not... People have these crazy conspiracies.
Hey.
It's crazy. That we're all lizard people?
Not all of us.
When the actual reality is crazier.
Yeah, no, I know. But who can understand that? Lizard people got it.
I could probably explain. I could probably explain it better. I didn't prepare for this.
I'll be honest. Every time you say that, it makes me feel sad because I want you to feel good and wholesome.
I know.
Wholesome.
I wish I could explain it better. So anyway, the dollar is a, you know, a
it's
figment
a joke
of our imagination. It's not really
baloney.
There's nothing that backs it, and the value changes at a whim.
The twist
based
at
on
the
policy
end,
in Washington.
The twist at the end of our movie is that the dollar meant nothing this whole time.
It is, and I think if people kind of knew that, they'd be more involved in. I've talked about guns and the Federal Reserve on this and gold. I mean, I'm painting myself as not a fun comedian, I don't think.
But you're the funnest comedian. Let's talk about comedy a little bit. So I've always rooted for you.
Right.
You're one of my absolute favorites.
Thank you so much. That's why, you know, as reflected in being your 580th guest on the show here. Finally squeezed me in now that you did 2 hours with the cashier at Dunkin' Donuts last week.
Wow.
Okay, come on. No, I'm happy to be
I know.
Here. Thank
You're
you so
just
much.
Giving me some fun sass.
I don't listen. Yeah.
No. I love fun sass. That was wonderful.
That was fun.
You are one of my favorites. I love you. And you do puns and silly jokes and killer material. And then I was very excited you got – would you consider Fallon like your first kind of break?
Yeah, that was a big break, I think, because that was my first comedy job.
Yes.
You know, I had worked in other things. I was doing like weird odd jobs prior to that.
Well, you were working production sometimes. You were kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I was doing like, I was the gaffer in a movie with Rip Torn.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the lighting on that.
Did you use gaff tape to fix
I
the
did.
Tear?
Nice, dude.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that was nice. There's a
that
couple people that liked it.
That was good.
All right, so
I wish I had that on set back then.
You
would turn
used
back
it?
The hands of time. I would have used that.
Rip time.
Rip darn, you know. We got some tape over here if you need it. Jesus.
So bad. So bad. So how did you get Fallon? You wrote a packet.
Yeah, I have the best story. Not really. I mean, but as a comedian,
good
I have the
story.
Best story of it.
Hit me with your best shot.
So the way it worked, this was like, they had just finished their first season, I think.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Or they were in the first season. They had already started.
Jimmy James
the
Fallon.
The show was on the air.
It's on the TV.
And they were going around looking for people. Now, I have no agent, no manager. So the way it works in the New York comedy scene.
Yes.
Is no one, you know, it's no one helps anyone. So everyone was going around.
Makes me sad to hear you say that.
No, I'll tell a story about you helping me because you did. But the way it's, you know, you want to maintain any advantage you can for yourself. So everyone had packets for Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all due Friday.
Sugar packets?
Sugar packets. Full of sugar.
That's how you got the job. You submitted a packet and it was just a
because
packet
I didn't know,
of sugar.
You know, and they thought it was such a good bit that I was willing to take the risk.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
That would be a good story. So you're submitting your packets. Everyone's submitting their packets. And you get the feeling that people are bristling and boxing you out and not helping.
Well, they didn't tell me about the packets.
Oh, thanks
so,
a lot, everyone.
So Saturday comes along.
Yeah.
And now everyone starts talking about the packets. Because it was a secret up until then, because they were taking submissions.
Yes.
So no one wants to talk about it because they don't want other people to, you know, increase their
sure
competition.
Right.
So all of a sudden, everyone's talking about packets. And I was kind of mad because I thought, like, oh, I can write monologue jokes. It was a monologue joke thing. And I just said, you know, forget it. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, this isn't, we don't work for Cisco. This is a comedy thing. They what deadlines? There's no deadlines.
Yeah.
So I did a packet that weekend and then I send it in Monday.
No way they're going to read them all by Monday anyway.
Right. I mean, the whole thing didn't matter. See, they had those selfish New York comics.
Yeah.
They had revealed their hand too early.
Yeah. You should have a fencing sword when you speak this way.
Yeah, and a thin mustache.
Yeah, yeah. And you just swoop it through some candles and they stay lit. David, wow. They really underestimated you this time.
They did. And then I got an interview and went in, and it was to replace Jezelnik he had left.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got the job. They liked the packet. but it was, I liked that I did it without, and, oh, you know, the reason I got it in, because I didn't have a manager or an agent, was a friend of mine worked in, he worked for Saturday Night Live as mm-hmm. like a, he does like some kind of producer there for, I don't know what he does, but he's a friend. So I emailed him and I said, is there any way you can get this to them? And he said, yeah. And he did it.
Wow.
Which is like the most rare thing you could imagine.
It is rare.
Someone actually doing something they say they do right. in the showbiz world.
Right.
And then I got to call. I was working as an extra on a College Humor shoot, unpaid. I was, this is like the low point for me. It's like they're literally shooting the back of my head as like a crowd thing. And then I got a call from them that they wanted to hire me. And so then I just left the shoot.
Really?
And it didn't matter because I was literally there as a back of a head. And then that was kind of, so it was from like low to high. It was kind of literary in that sense, you know?
Yeah.
But it was good.
That's
and
fantastic.
Then, and that's how I started there.
And what was that like? Did you enjoy your time?
Yeah, I think it was like a really valuable thing, but it wasn't like a fun, like super fun day to day. I don't think, because my vision was like, oh, Larry Sanders show, all this stuff. Like, oh, yeah, we'll be like joking around, doing all this stuff. And it was very like office job. You just sat there at the computer and it was a lot of work. It was kind of crazy because there were like six of us that all we did was monologue jokes. And he tells like 9 or 10 mm-hmm, a night.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people watching like, oh, yeah, I could write that, whatever, you know, like, but there's six of us and we're all just constantly, for me, those like first 6 months, especially, I was like, if I was awake, I was probably working on that show.
Because
like they would, you'd get in there in the morning, you'd do the things, and then you have a meeting, then you do the things, you get notes, he wants more on some topic, more news comes in, you do this, then you go to rehearsal, see how that goes. They may not want anything.
Rehearsal, is there an audience for the rehearsal?
There is.
Really?
It's like a tour group. They bring it in, then he just reads through maybe like 40 jokes. Maybe 30 jokes, and then he'll mark what he likes. And I think you can go to that rehearsal. Like, I don't know how to get tickets for it or whatever. I think if you just call Rockefeller Center, you can go to that, and they do it every day. And then they do the show at like 5:30, and then you kind of had a break then, and then you'd get dinner or something. And then at 8 o'clock, you'd get like another round of premises for the tomorrow's show. So then you'd start that and you go home and I write at home and then go to sleep. But it was a very, like intense, it was like working at like a Wall Street firm or something.
And it wasn't social really.
No, although I made good friends there. Like that's where I met like Morgan Murphy, who I love.
I know. Katie, I know.
And, what the, Katie, that I'm boring?
No, you're not boring. She's wonderful.
Katie's making a snooze mime.
Katie normally lights me at 90.
Oh, Jesus. Have we done 90?
We're closing in on 2 hours.
Yeah, sorry.
You've been what? Oh, you don't have to give in to the pressure of these jerks. She's looking for new headphones, she said. Because
No. Well, you know what? These do. See this? This will come off and stay on your ear.
Sure.
But anyway.
I
can give you some suggestions. I like to
flex on my ear all the time.
See?
You know what it is about, like when I shop for earphones, I just buy Bose Noise Canceling Quiet Comfort 15, the ones that go over the ear, because it's too overwhelming. If you Google best noise canceling earphones,
right,
you're doing it all day.
These ones are.
Now what are you making an hour? You know what I mean? I'll pay
right.
more for perhaps an inferior product just to not have to do all that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes.
We don't need to go back to that, but go ahead.
Right. What was I talking about?
You were talking about Jimmy Fallon, and it was like working right. in a stockbroker.
Yeah, it was a little weird. It was not how I thought it would be.
Did you get to like pitch your jokes to Jimmy James Fallon?
No. We had a meeting every day, but he would get a list of jokes that was just kind of anonymous. Mm-hmm. It was like a little like 5-page thing. And then he would just read them off. And then that was when he would determine what he would use in the rehearsal.
Based on the laughter of the meeting?
Or just how he thought. It was the first time he read the jokes. It was
okay.
His first look at that.
But could you laugh really hard at your own joke?
Like, I never did that. Some people did that, but I
didn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you wouldn't know. He wouldn't know if it was yours or not.
Right.
And sometimes I would laugh a lot at other... every time I laughed a lot, it was at someone else's joke because it would
surprise
me. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was funny. And I think he thought maybe that I was trying to sell mine sometimes because I had like this, like, sometimes I wouldn't laugh. Like, I'd just sit there and then all of a sudden one would really hit me.
Yeah.
And it might not have been like.
You should have just said, in situations like that, I would just say, it's not my joke. I just loved it.
I think, you know, it was a little, I don't know. The energy was not, I don't think that would have gone over.
Really?
I think it was a little weird.
Interesting.
But he was a nice guy.
Yeah.
And very funny.
I've met him a few times, sweetheart.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was fun. It was like a good experience.
How were you were fired? I was going to say shit canned. I didn't want to sound like belittling or callous.
No, well, what happened was we agreed that creatively it just made more sense if I wasn't allowed in the building anymore. I don't know. Yeah, they fired me.
Yeah.
I was there for a year.
How did
they? Honestly, at that point, I was happy to go.
Because the way you're describing it, yeah, you get out of the pressure cooker.
Yeah, because it was a great experience, but it wasn't like that lifestyle. I don't think I would have enjoyed as my career or something. I didn't think I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all right to leave.
Sure.
But it was still fun. And then, you know, I mean, I got a lot out of that. So it was a fun time.
Yeah. Cool. Good.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
I think I learned how to write jokes better, maybe, just from the volume process.
Well, you're a wonderful joke writer.
Thank you so much, Pete. I appreciate it.
Let's wrap this up by talking about, what do I got on here? We don't need to do any of these things. what's going on with you? What is this life about? What are we doing here? Is there a God? Is there an afterlife? What is the purpose of morality? Atheist, agnostic, hardcore believer?
Oh, boy. What do you mean? Oh, I'm not religious, really.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not an atheist.
What do you mean, really?
Like, what? I don't have doctrine that I follow.
Sure.
I don't know any of that stuff. I know it sounds like maybe a canned, everyone says, like, oh, I'm spiritual, but I'm not. But I'm not even spiritual, I don't think. I don't even think that makes sense. I just think, my opinion is, there are things, we are just a little animal, you know, we're just a monkey. And there are things that, despite being, we're the smartest thing on this planet, but, so that gives us maybe some arrogance about what we understand, but we don't know anything. You know, like, and it's just biologically limited by our little monkey brain.
Mm-hmm. Like dogs trying to understand the internet. This is what this theory is called.
Oh, okay.
On this show.
So dogs can't understand the internet.
Yeah. They try. I love the thought of a dog trying, like, ooh, today I'm going to get the internet. But he never does.
Woofwoofwoof.com. Woofwoofwoof.google.
Taken.
Yeah.
God damn it.
W-W-W.
The cats beat us to it. It's a pro cat website. Woof, woof, woof. Suck it, dogs. That's my cat.
Right. But even if, imagine if there was a smarter animal on the planet. Then I don't know that people would have religion.
You mean would worship those things?
Or you'd just feel so embarrassed to come up with a... You'd be like, who am I? You know, it's like...
Well, but you'd listen to them. They'd have to explain their big
theories.
They probably
wouldn't care, though. It's like, what if... Like, we couldn't... You know... What if they're so far... Like, if they had the brain of that thing, there's a...
Mars attack alien. Yeah.
If it had that, they wouldn't care. But we'd be like a little house pet. They'd teach us tricks, and that'd be it.
Right.
They wouldn't care. But you'd be like, you know, I'm not going to be able to then, if there was a guy like that on the planet.
Yes, the Mars Attacks guy.
You would feel ridiculous saying, there's no God. This is how God is.
Because we're not the smartest thing anymore.
Yeah. And then that's all it would take. And it's very reasonable. It's just the luck of the draw that there isn't that thing. Or maybe there is and they're hiding because they're smart.
Yeah.
They know they live
under the Earth's crust.
Yeah.
With the grays.
But that's all it would take. So if it changes that easy, people's views on things based on just like some very likely scenario that could have happened just through evolution, then it makes you kind of step back. But I don't understand people who have like really hard beliefs on this in any way. Cause like, how smart do you think you are? you don't understand like dimensions and all this stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, what's the eighth dimension have?
Right.
Like, you can't think that far ahead.
Right.
You can't. There's so much you don't know.
So there's a little bit of an abandon. We can't get everyone's guns back. And we also, I'm saying there's a similarity right. in the logic where you're just kind of like, that's too far gone and we're too up our own asses. We can right. say, like an atheist says, given the evidence that I have and my ability to compute it, I think there's no God. Just in the way that you and I don't believe in Zeus or whatever.
Right. But they have no evidence though.
But I mean,
in the grand scheme of things.
None of us
you
do.
Have to, yeah.
So they're just saying.
To draw any collusion.
An atheist conclusion. Is just saying your conclusion is just. I think I'm going to speak as my own pretend atheist today and sure. say your conclusion
as
that
the
there is
devil's
a God,
advocate.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh. Your conclusion uh-huh. that there is a God is just a more ridiculous theory than my theory, which may or may not be ridiculous. But I think mine is the best based.
But if
on
you
what
think
I
the theory,
see.
If you think the theory is ridiculous, then it's ridiculous to come up with another theory.
I suppose so. But most atheists are agnostic atheists down at their core.
But why do they preach it then?
We're going to get in trouble again. Every time. Why? Katie, are you an atheist?
Agnostic. What did you get in trouble for?
I can't represent them well enough. Every time it comes up, people go, why do we get such a hard time for being like certain in our beliefs? All we're saying, and this is I read the comments
right.
for the first 3 or 4 days, then I stop. But I do read the comments at the beginning and people are just like, me, Pete, I don't believe in Hermes or Zeus or like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Nobody questions that. I'm not like a lunatic for having a firm stance on saying, I don't think there's a thunder God.
Okay.
But
yeah.
when they say, I don't think there's a Jesus or a Buddha or a Yahweh or anything, they feel like they get a bad rap for just being like saying, I may be wrong,
but they have to,
but most likely the evidence points to no
then
God.
Then they have to name the God they don't believe in.
I suppose. Yeah.
But if you're going to make it open-ended in that there's no God, and if because you don't, then first of all, it's what whose definition of God?
Well, what? Yeah. Well, then what? How are we defining God? We could say that God is just like the hum, this energy that started everything. Then that's
sure.
God. I think they're talking about a conscious lifeguard, bearded man God. That's often the one. But you know, this.
But
is
there
what,
could easily be a conscious something.
But that's what Rob Bell says when he talks to atheists, and they're like, "I don't believe in an old man in the sky." He's like, "Neither do I."
Right.
You know what I mean, he's like, atheists and believers often don't believe in the same God. They neither of them believe in that. I'm there. I look. You're talking to God guy. I love God. I'm all.
Oh, really?
I'm looking for him everywhere.
I thought you had renounced most of that.
I did. No religion.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm the guy that like is looking for meaning and finds it. But that's what my friends on the comment board call a confirmation bias. I want to believe in God and then I find him. But then there are other things where I'm just kind of like, don't get me wrong. I see the horrors of life. I see homosexual children being put to death in other parts of the country and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So religion's fucked up its own ass for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of it that's not related to God.
Right.
That image of whatever you're supposed to think. But they have these other rules that they tag on.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that I'm sure causes problems in all those different religions, but I think people have like some sense of, I think it's just humility. If you can just accept like there is something, I don't care what it is. He can hate us. He can be indifferent.
Yep.
Not be an actual thing. Not even have like our version of
consciousness.
But there's gotta be, because we know zero.
I agree with you there.
You know, we're just on we're ants on a speck of dust. Imagine an ant having a theory about God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's silly.
Right.
You know, if they could take all that they know about the world, ants are smart, you know, compared to like a
sure.
amoeba or whatever.
Compared to other ants.
Yeah.
Sure. There's the one ant that's always thinking and talking and trying to be like, I think there's something else.
My Aunt Gladys.
You're very funny. God, I walked out into a field and I thought it was safe. And then I saw the glimmer of light off your sniper scope and it was too late.
It was too late.
I heard the shot, which means it's too late. It's already in me.
You went down.
David Angelo silenced me.
Silenced.
Well, I love that theory. That excites me because what you're doing is you're not being too certain yourself. You're not making some sort of claim that I think would upset people necessarily, but you're also leaving it open
right.
to let me get my spiritual boner on.
But I think people get value from God too. You may not like it. I think it's easy when your life is great or relatively great.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't, I would just love to see an atheist or whatever explain no God to, like, you know, some woman from El Salvador whose family's been murdered in a, you know, some government coup or whatever.
You don't think she's more likely to be like, yeah, there's no God, look what just happened?
Well, maybe, but if she has, if that's the one thing she has left is religion.
Right.
I think that those are reasonable.
I think at most atheists, 99.9% of them would be like, let's leave the coup lady alone.
But why? Because if that's your belief and you think it's freeing and you think...
Okay. Well, then I also think there are people that would be like, look, this is all meaningless and we're just floating around in a stew where some people get shot and some people don't get shot.
Right.
And some people are jerks that get lucky and are overpaid and are idiots and have Ferraris and shit and your family's dead. Maybe it would be liberating to her to be like, it's meaningless, but like there's a joy and a beauty to yielding to that.
Maybe. But it would be, I think when, but why, if the only thing really she has going is the idea that there's some afterlife,
right,
where she'll be reunited with this family.
Well, I guess it's like, why would you want to tell your cat that he can never catch the laser pointer?
There it is. That's it. That's perfect. Why would you? It would ruin everything. And it's not, he's not better.
Yeah.
You think he's better off?
Right. He's depressed now.
No. Yeah.
He thought he could get it.
Right. I think, I don't know.
But he's like, you know, this explains a lot, the way it moves up the wall. It doesn't follow patterns. It's often interrupted by another thing. I mean, what kind of a thing is interrupted by another? Like, if you put your hand in front of it, he disappears. I mean, like, I had a feeling this whole time that right. It was fake. Well, let's end with something. That was a wonderful God talk. I really enjoyed that. To quote Zach Galifianakis, it was a God cast.
Was that a good one?
I love that one.
I got anything.
You didn't feel good about it?
I pray to God there was something there.
I love it.
I don't know. I have nothing. I'm grasping at straws here.
You're the king. You're not grasping at straws. I'm bringing you a coconut that I sliced open and you're drinking from it.
Thank you.
Yeah. There are women fanning you. And some men.
Yeah, sure.
But I know you like girls, so I just want you to be like, look, there's some women.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Love women. That's one of the simple pleasures of life. You're just like, look, there's some girls.
it is. It's kind of like a way to be energized.
Isn't it fun? I get off so hard on girls, just the presence of girls. Like just being like at a harmless soda pop and pizza party. I'm just like, oh, but look, there's some girls. It must be so wonderful to belong. And it's not even, it doesn't have to be exclusively sexual. Like there's some girls, I'd like to fuck those girls. It's just like there's girls.
Yeah.
Like and for better or worse, that's just what they are in my brain. I'm like, oh, good, some girls.
Yeah, they're there. It's yeah. Like, oh, yeah. This
will be okay. Got some broads.
They're beacon in the night.
Yeah, they are beacons in the night. And they love gabbing. And, you know, I love gabbing. Anyway, this is my final thing. And I never know how to phrase it so the person doesn't feel put on the spot. So I'm just going to be putting you on the spot. But you don't have to feel bad.
Okay.
I'm just
why Katie left the room?
No, I don't know why Katie left. She knows we're almost done.
All right.
But this part can take 10 minutes.
She stopped recording an hour ago.
The question is, can you remember, it doesn't have to be a good story. That's what I say to try and take pressure off.
Oh, I can't remember any stories, but go ahead.
Okay.
I'm really bad at this.
We're going to be in it together.
Okay.
I'm not leaving you.
Okay.
There's not going to be dead air while you're just thinking.
Okay, because
I'll try and think of one too.
All right.
But I've told so many of mine, the hardest time you've ever laughed. And it doesn't have to be a good story. It could be recent. It could be childhood.
Man. And the only recent one I have,
yes,
I don't know that this is the absolute, or even if it's a good example, because it's just, and it might be a bad story because it's a comic told a joke at a club.
No, we get that all the time. I love that.
I know there's others. I'm sure there's like something so great that I could tell, but I'm totally blanking.
Yeah.
But I can just remember this one because I kept telling people about the joke. His name was Trey Elliott as the comic.
Mm-hmm. I'm just picturing three Chris Elliott.
But his joke was about, like, he's a black guy, and the joke was about, like, Price is Right, and there's no black guys on, or black people on Price is Right. And it was so funny. I don't even remember, like, the whole thing.
Is that
thing.
True? I'm picturing the quintessential sassy black woman that gets up and is like, $1, Bob.
Well, he's, I don't know, it was just like they never do well, was his thing.
Mm.
And the joke was, and what I love about it is, like, I'm not black, you know, and I'm not, like,
right.
I still love the joke,
right.
Which was he was like, You know, when they're up there, you know, on the, what do you call it? Showcase? No.
Yeah.
What's the initial thing you'd bid on? What's that called?
The first round.
Yeah.
There's four of you down there.
The come on down business.
Yes.
So he'd be like, you know, what's the price of this? I forget. Actually, I'm whatever. This That's is fine. A version of his joke. Is like there'd be a TV there, and then people, you know, there'd be like the white person would be like $500, Bob, and then there'd be another white person who'd be like trying to be like all smart, like $501, Bob, and then get to the black person, and the black person would be like $35 a month. It's so funny, like just to see him do the thing, and he had like all these other bits on it, and I was laughing so hard, and it was like it wasn't mostly even black people in the audience, but I was sitting next to these other like black comics, and we were just like something about it was so funny.
Yes,
I thought that was hilarious.
That's wonderful and unifying. I think you're noticing that you're sitting with the other black guys and you're having this laugh, and they're all having a laugh together.
Right.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
That's wonderful.
See? I don't know that that's a good story.
I told you it doesn't have to be a good story.
Is it good?
Everybody,
do you have one? You have one that you tell every episode?
No, I don't tell it every episode. I'm trying to remember. The hardest I've laughed recently, like in the past couple of days, is I went to Rich and Kristen's house, Kristen Schaal. And I was talking about her later. I was like, one of the reasons why Kristen is so funny is because she's just naturally funny. Like when she's being sincere,
right.
She's funny. So everything she said, I was just cackling, laughing at. She'd just be like, oh, hey, Pete, I can't do Kristen Schaal. And I would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And she's like, you guys want some brownies? Just laugh and laugh. Just somebody who like – and like we were having this discussion like, does she know she's being funny? And we were like, I don't think she necessarily knows she's being funny all the time, because I laughed at almost everything she said. So see, that's not a good story, but it's a funny little image of me laughing every time she spoke.
Right. Yeah. No, that's good.
Jesus.
That's better, though, because it's not – mine is just – there was another joke I remember now.
Yours, if we're quantifying, yours is better. People can quote that joke. It's a
this
fun
is,
joke.
This was a – when I was a kid, I had these two friends, and they kind of had some, like, animosity between them, but I was friends with both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them was making fun of the other one for being poor. And his joke was, you drive your – he says, Your parents drive an external – your car is an external combustion engine. That was so funny. The vision of a car with an external combustion.
That's fucking fantastic.
On fire.
Yes.
I guess it's some like little shit kid like being a dick to another kid. That's so funny. And I laughed a lot.
Great.
Back then.
Well, the kid ones are often good. I remember me and my brother couldn't get over this kid. When we were kids, we thought eggs were so funny. Like egg was an insult. You go, you're an egg.
Right.
It was just a thing. Then we met this kid that said eggs. We'd say eggs and he'd say eggs. So we'd just get him to say it. He'd go like, lay your eggs, cook your eggs, sit on your eggs. And I just wept with laughter at the pronunciation of eggs. Lay your eggs. I don't even know if he was Southern, but he said eggs. Anyway, David Angelo, this was wonderful. You're a wonderful man.
Thank you for having me, Pete. I really appreciate it. And I want to say thanks to the viewers again. I got some good, and I was on your Austin one, and people had been
some nice
feedback from
that. People love you on the live shows. We'll have you back.
It was a lot of fun. You're fantastic. I also say Pete Holmes, when I was talking earlier about people who don't help me in the comedy.
Sure. You're
always.
I'm happy this guy
has done the most for me in New York when I was there.
Oh, thanks,
I appreciate
man.
That.
Of course.
One of the nicest guys in the business, Pete Holmes.
I live outside of that shit. Everybody we know does. TJ, Kumail, all those guys.
All right.
We're starting our own thing.
We are.
And we'll help each other out.
We're going to do it.
I'm glad you're here.
Me too.
Say keep it crispy.
Keep it crispy.
That's such a good one. Say it again.
Keep it crispy. Well, keep it crispy.
It's like the perfect keep it crispy. Do you have a voiceover agent?
That's one of the things you hooked me up with.
Is that right?
But then he dropped me.
Oh, well.
Because I didn't do, I don't know, I never booked anything. But I couldn't go on auditions.
At Innovative?
Yeah, I couldn't audition. I was always working.
Huh.
But maybe in the future, maybe, who knows.
We can put you in touch with a guy out here for sure.
See, this is how business happens, folks.
All I'm doing is walking around thinking about advertising and how much it's affecting me. You just have to.
Now I want to get into it.
Can I get an agent? I'm like, yeah, sure. I was just thinking about bananas and how they look like dicks.
Bananas. They look like dicks. Pick some up today.
A big bunch of dicks growing off a tree. No wonder monkeys are so happy. Their main food looks like a dick. You peel and eat dicks. If all I ate was fucking Frankfurters, then I'd be the funnest guy. You mean old Frankfurt? Just kill bosses raw. He's the funniest and funnest guy. Only likes dick foods and two apricots. No, always two. Got to get some fiber.
They're in season right now.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Get it?
Yeah, good callback.
Stay black, okay?
I always do.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.